welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Hey, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Badawawa.
Uh-huh. I have been late twice in 16 years of radio.
Twice this week.
Huh.
Well, it happens.
Yeah. I'm not... This is confusing now because... Danny is a very sincere guy, yeah. And he was very apologetic for being late yesterday, and he bought everyone breakfast.
I know. I was hoping he'd be late again today.
Well, you got your wish, baby girl.
I already got my order written down.
Me too. And yesterday I wanted to be nice, so I just got some toast and fruit.
No, today I go full buffet. I'm going Denver omelet.
Mimosa.
Mimosa. I'm going with the eggs. Florentine, not Benedict. Florentine.
Is that more?
I don't know. I think there's. I think one of them involves spinach.
Yeah, that's Florentine.
All right. Well, let's talk about me. How about that?
Yeah. What about you?
I was. I did the Jim Rome show yesterday.
Right.
I actually hosted Jim Rome show.
His television show.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. They do a nice thing over there, which is they make you a shirt. You see, most times when you do stuff in this town, you get three things. You get a coffee mug with the show's logo on it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You get a tote bag, a cheap tote bag, but just a tote bag, sort of akin to those things that Pan Am would give to the Beatles in the 60s. And then you get... once in a while, you get a bathrobe, which is a nice grab.
Nice.
Bathrobes weren't once in a while... 8 years ago, it was everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. That was the thing.
I'll tell you, in Deep Cable on TV Water Cooler, we give you a hat.
And a slap on the ass. Yeah, and not a hat you can wear, but one of those goofy cloth ribbon adjustable back hat things that has no front to it. It's the sort of gay tennis hat. It's flimsy, and it doesn't... Here's the thing. Where the bill hits the cap, it doesn't go up. It continues to go with this sort of thing. So you pull it on your head, and it kind of sits on there, but it never sits right. It's not a ball cap.
No.
It's a tennis slash maybe I'm golfing cap. They're horrible. The point is when you do the Jim Rome show, they make you a shirt.
Like a jersey?
A dress shirt with your initials monogrammed into it. You pick out, they have booklets of two different booklets that have 500 swatches of fabric in it. You flip through it, you find the one you like, they take your measurements, a nice Asian lady pulls out that rope tape and drags it down your arms, goes around your neck. Next thing you know, you have a custom tailored shirt with your initials on the cuff.
They send it to you later, or they give it to you?
Yeah, you watch them sew it.
Yeah.
No, you don't watch them sew
it. I was on Takes a Month, too. Luckily, I did, in fact, just by coincidence, I saw Jim Rome, and I remember I said, boy, wouldn't this be fun if I wasn't having to pretend I knew who he was?
Right.
So I had no expectations of seeing Adam. And I just happened to be clicking through my buttons, and there he was doing a 9-minute stand-up monologue.
It felt like nine.
What was it? Really?
More like two.
1:45. It could have been 6-7 minutes.
Yeah, it
took a little while.
It was 4 minutes till he did this. And blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Oh, over here?
Yeah.
And he turns the camera starts again. It was forever.
Oh, you did a camera turn.
Well, it's one of these... I wish people would assign numbers to things because...
Number two.
When you do a home improvement project, when they do these home improvement shows, they go, hey, installing your own mailbox. First dig a hole, then get this, then get a sack of ready creep, blah, blah, blah. And then when they're all done telling it to you, they'll go, this is a 3 on the difficulty scale. A homeowner can do it, or they'll do putting in a drop T-bar ceiling and they'll go, this is a 5. This is for a professional.
Oh,
if you're
okay.
not a professional.
Right.
So when you're watching, you go, oh, that's a 2? I'm a weekend warrior. I think I can handle that. But if we're talking about digging my own basement and they say it's a 5, it's time to call in the contractors. Show business ought to do this because when you're a guest on a show, they go, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And you feel like going, what's the difference?
Right.
I'm going to sit down next to the person. I'll probably be funny. Us... It may not be, but the discussion we're having now is not going to alter that course.
Right.
It's either going to happen or it's not. I could be half in the bag. I could just plant my ass there, and either the audience is going to go with me or they're not. But there's nothing to do. You have to have lots of conversations about it like it's a five, but it's really a one.
Right.
But I was hosting the show yesterday.
Right. As a matter of fact,
it was a 4.5, and it was... come on down. You know what I mean? I mean, they didn't undersell it, but it wasn't. When I showed up, it was like, all right, fellas, what are we going to do? And they're like, you're going to be hosting this entire show.
Oh,
you have to do a monologue. You have to interview this guy. You need to throw it to this guy. Then you need to preside over this panel. Then you need to do a final thought. Look, what's the final? I don't have a final thought. Well, we better work it out because we have about 15 minutes. It's like, should have taken me a couple of riders and a half a day to put together. Me and Bald Brian just showed up and did it.
Nice.
Wow. What was your final thought regarding?
I hate you people. Write something down for me.
Bald Brian will...
Was it the uniform?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am...
The greatest hits of Adam's sports rants was yesterday on Jim Rome's Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the baseball season length. I'm surprised you didn't do it.
That's why
what?
Was
the length?
Yeah.
You didn't do baseball season length, but you did length of the pants, you did schmutz on the helmet, the pine tar, uniforms, changing names, cities, teams changing cities, not changing names.
That's not one of my rants, though. Is it? No, I do cities who have the same name. One of them needs to change, but I don't do teams changing names.
Was a new thing?
Shut up, I'm Bald Brian.
As long as you're confused with Brian, I think your rants need a rating. Have you ever noticed, T, that he'll start talking about something he seems passionate about, but he's looking right at you and pauses, so you say something? Do you ever get email after you said something that says, "Stop interrupting Adam's rants"? I wish you were dead. Adam's the best ranter. You're wrecking it. Oh, my God. So you need to give me a nod and a wink when you're not actually speaking to me, but just looking at me.
Oh, I should close my eyes. That's what I normally do.
Or something.
Wait a second.
That freaks me out. I like eye contact.
I want to revisit something real quick, but you guys can tell me. I have done the rant about cities. For instance, we're on in Portland, Maine.
And we're on
in Portland, Oregon. And it's confusing when you tell someone we're on in Portland. Or the one I always use, which is Rochester, New York, and Minnesota, I think, and probably a bunch of other places. I think we should only have one city. The rant I did yesterday, which was the Seattle Supersonics are moving or thinking about moving to Oklahoma City.
Right.
And I just want them to leave their name. There's no room. Like you're the Seattle Supersonics because Supersonic is Seattle's the home of Boeing.
Oh, right. Okay,
it's Boeing. It is alliteration, but it is the home of Boeing, and thus Oklahoma's the home of covered wagons. You know what I mean? Right. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
See, the Utah Jazz.
That makes no sense.
Utah Jazz is from New Orleans.
Right.
Of course they are.
You couldn't have picked a funnier, I mean, if you were a team of comedy writers, couldn't have come up with Utah.
Yes.
In Los Angeles, we're the Lakers.
Right.
We have no lakes.
Minnesota has lakes.
They were the Minneapolis Lakers. So if you're moving, drop the name.
Right.
Colorado in hockey were the Nordiques.
Uh-huh.
In Canada, they moved to Colorado. They became the Avalanche.
Right.
It would be stupid to have the Nordiques in Colorado. But some teams don't pick up on that.
The only team
that
I know
was
my name. The only team I know. They'll always be the Los Angeles Rams to me.
Right.
I don't think it's that we have an extra bunch of Rams. It's just the how I grew up.
Right.
The Los Angeles Rams. I don't even know what they do now.
But
I think they broke up and started a boy band.
But they moved to St. Louis. But at least Rams aren't indigenous to here or St. Louis. That's just a coin toss. Pick an animal. Fine. But when you pick something like if the Colorado Rockies move to Arizona, it doesn't make sense anymore because Arizona possesses no Rockies.
I remember what you said exactly. You said if the Colorado Rockies move to Nebraska, you should call them the Nebraska Ashtrays.
That's right. But that isn't one of my Jags, I don't think.
It is now.
Well, it is now, but have we discussed this?
No. No. Not to my knowledge. We
Thanks,
have discussed that cities with the same name within these greater United States should
duke it
out.
Right. That's what we've discussed. Now, what was the other ones, Brian? So you can
you must have gotten into the Michael Vick thing.
I did better notes than you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm gun shy now. It wasn't Vick, although you guys talked about that with the panel.
Donaghy? Mm-hmm.
New. What else is big and Pac-Man.
Rizzuto?
Pac-Man wrestling and the sack dance. Two things.
Pac-Man, sack dance. and John Madden.
Right, yes,
Madden.
Keepers.
All Jags have never done.
You mentioned the Madden thing yesterday, but yes, not one of your regular.
What'd I say?
It was during the news when it was on television.
During the show?
Off the air.
Oh, my God.
Brian, here's why I'm mad at you.
What's up, buddy?
Here's why you're fired.
I went and did four brand new Jags based on what was going on in the news yesterday. You made it seem like I just warmed over. Here's what happened. Can you explain what happened there, Brian?
Let's start again.
What just happened there is I was giving these guys a nice toot of smoke up my own tuk-eye about how I just went over sight unseen and started doing someone else's TV show. You jumped in and said, well, it was basically a warmed over best of Adam's stuff, when in fact, when we just deconstructed it, it was none. The opening, whatever, was none of my Jags.
A quick reenactment, boss, of how I play Brian.
Thank you.
First of all, there was part of it right there. Have you noticed that recently he's become Mr. Carolla and now been elevated to boss? That's where you start. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I make a lot of money and I have a contract.
Yes.
You know,
and
I know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Or maybe. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you would like to tell me about, just real quickly, about your rants.
I went over to Jim Rome, rant unseen, hit my mark, and started going.
You know, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it, because I work with you every day and sometimes after the show, and I don't think I've ever heard a word of those before. Do you do it on the spot, or at least think of it in your dressing room?
I didn't even think of it until after it came out of my mouth. That's how...
That's the sign of genius, though.
Thank you.
Hold on, I'm going to have...
You hear it in your own ears and go, wow, this is good. That's amazing.
Hear how that works, Brian?
I'm going to have the ultimate ass kiss, which is that I'll use your own phrasing, one of your own rants, to compliment you. A lot of comedians are a comedy warehouse.
Thank you. They keep
their rants in there, and when they need them, they go in and dust them off. You are a factory.
Well, not according to my...
I started off weak. I didn't know I'm above the factory. And a reference to Warhol.
Not according to the night watchman, Brian, who claims everything is in the warehouse.
I actually heard Brian. I was in the next stall, and I know you don't like it, boss, when we use the stalls to work, and I'm sorry. I was just standing in there.
You can stand in the stall.
I appreciate that. He was mumbling to himself, is he ever going to get tired of rehashing this crap? That's what I heard him say.
Et tu, Brute?
Well, you did that. You did that Madden one yesterday. Off the air, kind of.
During a commercial.
Sometimes, you can, if you listen carefully, Brian, you can hear Brian lightly going, blah, 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 blah.
Now, here's what you
Sometimes
do.
Sometimes I've heard, God, that woman's funny.
If people want the technique, if there is one, you do a show like Jim Rome, it's day and date. You can't really go up there and start talking about guys that haven't been in the league for 5 years. You have to talk about whatever happened that day.
Ask Kiss Rodeo. This is real to me because I don't, you know what I mean? That's timely stuff. That's a real thing. The other stuff, I was just trying to show Brian how to keep his job. Is that a fact? If they have been in, they're not a big star, too much of the audience won't know what you're talking about?
It's a daily sports show, and just like a stand-up comedian who gets up there and says, boy, what's, Clinton, he was quite a president.
That Berlin Wall fell.
Yeah, you kind of,
I was called the OJ joke.
This is what,
You missed your mark.
This is what these guys tell me. You have a choice of about 10 subjects. It's essentially breaking sports news. It's news. It's just sports you have to talk about. Now, what you can do is you can try to take some of your old ideas and, tweak them a little and infuse them a little and work them into it a little so you have your own sensibilities and some of your own ideas, but it still has to play day and day.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Bald Brian. And what Bald Brian...
By the way, he was talking to me. You're welcome.
Bald Brian.
Good times.
You just felt my sort of repetitious energy brought to slightly new subjects, but the same complaint and pace brought to newer topics.
I think I was blinded and deafened by your brilliance.
That's what it is.
You're back.
Brian and I...
I think you grew hair. Look.
Brian and I drove all the way out to Orange County and...
Westminster.
got to drive through two red turn arrows on the way home.
Wow. That's right, brazen.
Please tell us more.
we got to stop eventually.
Although Brian told me one and a half when we got out of the car.
I think he actually said, didn't you go around the corner and just run the same old red arrow again?
That's what he said. Yeah. He said it was an arrow, but it was on your driveway, so it really wouldn't mean much. All right.
Come on!
We need to take ourselves a break. Let's see. Yes, home improvement. You have questions? We'll see. I think he's gassed. Oh, gotta be honest with you.
You actually want to help people now with their home improvement.
I do.
Bertram helps people.
I do. Hold on. Darius? Uh-oh. Darius?
Yay! Hey, what's up, Ace Man?
What's
Yay.
Happening, Darius?
What's up, buddy?
You want to kiss my ass quickly before we go to break? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real quick. I saw you on the Jim Rome show, and good times. You did a great sub in. I just wanted to ask Dante, how's life off the wagon treating you?
Hey,
off the wagon?
Wait, oh, off the wagon?
And who's Dante? That's your kid,
not
you.
My kid. Has my son been drinking again?
No, Dante, come on. We all saw the papers. You're drinking again.
What
you
paper?
Came in with... You came in
rolling
with minty
papers?
Fresh gum a half hour late. Come on, dude.
Wait, what's that?
Are you talking about him coming in late to work yesterday?
Yeah, and he came in minty fresh gum.
That's because he didn't have time to brush his teeth.
No, he did. He smelled like ass.
Yeah, I didn't brush my teeth, buddy, but nice try.
No, come on.
All right.
I have been late
twice.
In 16 years of radio.
And now I consider twice in 8 months.
twice in 2 days, to be technical.
All right.
But this doesn't work. We got to talk to Angie. I can't get in. I thought I got fired.
Mm.
My past doesn't
work. That's a
horrible feeling. I'm pounding on the friggin' door to get into it. Yeah.
Well, hold on.
But what
Danny,
papers?
You are a Dante, right?
Yeah, my legal name is Dante.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Dante Daniel Bonaducci.
I did know that. I don't know why I knew that. All right, look, do we want to yell at him or
no.
The phone screwed up anyway? All right, let's take ourselves.
Just give me a chance.
A break.
To be this brilliant and off the wagon, and you got a happy guy.
866-901-ADAM. I will answer your home improvement questions. How about that? Yeah. So please call. I will not screw with you. I'll attempt to be amusing, but I will also hand out legitimate home improvement advice. 866-901-ADAM, home improvement questions, yours next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's on deck this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Start out here for a fifth, peeps. Big time show for you today. From Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock, Rachel Dratch, comedian Ralphie May. Also, the star of Hustle and Flow, Oscar nominee and fellow PIMP, Terrence Howard. And from the hit NBC show Heroes, Allie Larder. Hey, if things go well, maybe Allie can check out my Hustle and Flow. Hustle and Flow. That's what I named my left and right nuts, peeps. Peeps.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Home improvement questions, 866-901-ADAM. We have an intro.
From the pantheon of morning radio, a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco. It's like a wall stud in your ceiling. Something called a tuck trowel. The bottom of a ceiling joist. You grind out the mortar. 2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
Christine.
Hi.
What's happening? That's my mom's name, strike one. But ask your question.
Well, I was going to be putting a towel rack onto my bathroom door, which is a hollow type of wood door.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if I should use drywall anchors or if I can just screw it on.
Okay, now the fun begins.
All right, hollow core doors. This is one of my complaints. Hollow core doors are those doors you can put your fist through. They have a piece of eighth-inch masonite on each side of them. And they have just this sort of ribbon of cardboard that sort of separates the two. You can sort of judge how your life is going by how many hollow core doors you have in your house. Mm-hmm. If you have zero, you're doing quite nicely, or you're in prison. If you have all hollow core doors, that is a bad sign, but that's just interior doors. And if you have a hollow core exterior door, you are official white trash. So, Christine, I'm guessing you're renting?
Yes.
Even worse, you're renting someone else's hollow core doors. You're paying somebody who owns the hollow core doors, who lives in a house that has solid core doors, using your hard-earned money to fill their doors.
Yep.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
I like when I have to label it.
Hey,
powerful.
Christine. By the way, what do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm working in retail.
Mm-hmm. So you want to hang a towel rack or a towel hook, possibly?
Yeah, it's one of those accordion-style wood cheap towel rack thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Hollow core doors have an eighth inch of masonite on the outside of them. Masonite is highfalutin cardboard that's been sort of heat treated. It doesn't hold screws very well. You could try putting a wood screw in it. It wouldn't have that much grab. And if you hung a big, fat, healthy, wet towel on it, you a big gal, Christine?
No, not at all.
You're not. All right, so you don't have the jumbo wet towels. If you hung one of those on there, it might take it off. If you use an anchor, just a plastic screw shield or a lead screw shield, and you screw it into it, it might do it. But the best would be the toggle bolt.
This is very interesting.
That is the winged thing that flaps open. I'll tell you what to do.
That's what they're for, huh? I've never always wondered.
Christine, yes, you thought they were just hygiene products. No, there are other things that have wings. Men use some of them. Christine, you need to go to a hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big barn-style store that you might find Teresa Strasser at on any given Saturday trying to make an extra nickel.
Dime,
you need to go to a regular ma-and-pa type hardware store. Speak to a guy who has a little salt and pepper in his hair. Go to the department where they have these fasteners and have him hand you the one that's going to work the best.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Or you could think about moving to a place that had solid core doors.
Yeah, I definitely am thinking about that.
The other thing is I don't like the man meddling too much. I don't like all the codes and whatnot. But right. We have a lot of building codes. Tons and tons of building codes. If you build a railing, the railing has to be 36 inches high, and the bars can't be spread out more than 4 inches because the kid's going to put his head through it and so on and so forth. Why not make a code that says bathrooms need the solid core door? We were talking about you're on that third date with that special someone. It's looking like it could go well, except for you guys had Mexican. And now you have a little nerve gas going because there's the anticipation of intimacy. And maybe you had a couple glasses of wine and it's time to use their bathroom in their very small one bedroom apartment where they pulled the carpet out last week and had the hardwood floors redone. So you have that nice 2-inch gap underneath the bathroom door that was undercut to clear the carpet. And it's a hollow core door and you're sitting on the pot. You're running the shower and the sink, and you're banging on the toilet lid with a wooden spoon just to try to drown running out whatever's water. Going on. You know that hollow core doors going over tile floors actually amplify sound?
Oh yeah, I do know that.
A fart that was formerly a 4.5 is a 9.
Dude, dating again. I know. This is horrible.
It's like somebody set up a rack of amps where the door was and just...
The first time that happened, and one of the only times I'm weird about that, because their stuff comes with sound.
Sure.
It's a whole thing. And I remember distinctly because she had a 500-square-foot apartment with no bedrooms, not a one-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I'm in the bathroom, the mirror to get ready is right outside the door, and Amy's there, and I said, I'll give you $1,000 to go in the kitchen till I'm done.
Really?
Yes.
And I rarely say this, but it's one of the only times I'm actually jealous of Bill, the gay board op. He just has that clean every time.
Right.
Every time. Just.
Better, Brian? We've turned.
It was just like somebody held a hula hoop up and just went.
No strain.
That's all it sounds like.
It sounds like a sigh.
Not a whimper.
All right, where the hell were we? Let's see, ceiling granite slab.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
Or bottom it. George?
Hey, how you doing?
Question about a granite slab?
Yeah, we just had granite countertops put into the bathroom, and they put the sinks in before they left, but they're not sealed, so they're kind of like moving around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what would I use for a ceiling?
Let me say a few things. All of you with countertops that are made of granite or slate or marble or anything like that, that stuff needs to be sealed. This is not what George is asking, but I will piggyback it on to his question. They need to be sealed once a year, if not more. Some never get sealed at all, and then you take a drink and you put it down, especially if it's citrus, like lemonade or orange juice or something, and it will burn a ring into that. Granite is harder than the others, but you will mess your stone up. So you need to get some industrial-grade sealer. You can get it anywhere, and you spray it on and you wipe it off, and you do that as maintenance once a year. It's sort of like what you do to your car. Put a coat of wax on it once a year. Now, you have a sink that's floating around, and it needs to be sealed. What you need to do is go in and get yourself some silicone, white silicone, not the clear stuff. It'll look better on your white sink.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham
that's
Wellington.
That's right. White, like Graham Wellington. Not black, like
Jerome Washington.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
That's right.
What if I have, like, a...
Or brown.
Brown.
Like...
My name is Juan Hernandez.
Juan Hernandez. That's right.
You got to be Graham Wellington.
My name is Sanjay Kumar.
It'll say it right on the tube. Graham Wellington, 100% yeah. silicone sealant.
Sure.
You then take that, you make a nice bead of it and drag your finger around it. Get a towel and wipe your finger off and then drag it again and make it nice and smooth. Your finger is the tool you use to finish off the caulking. Yes, George?
Yeah.
You're having a ball out here.
You feel good about that?
Yeah. What about... we got this tacky old blue sink, but we got a granite, it's a dark granite, so black on one.
You can get, here's,
nice
the,
to talk here, to
here's the deal now, you can get caulking in every color under the rainbow these days, all the different shades, just like the people here of Los Angeles, all the shades of brown, the whites, and they even have custom colors, so just go get the one that matches and do it. Juan Hernandez. Let's see... Plastering, covering, mud room and kitchen, match exposed aggregate.
What's a mud room?
The mud room is, we don't really have them out here, but the mud room is the room you enter when you enter from through the kitchen door or the front door. The mud room, I think, is the room that's next to the kitchen where you go in there and you take your galoshes off and you have the washer and dryer and stuff in there. It's sort of an East Coast thing. It's like a basement. We don't really have them over here, but where is that mud room?
Are you all having as much fun as Mark. We are learning about this kind of stuff?
Mark.
Hi.
You're calling from Torrance?
Yes, sir.
They have mud rooms in Torrance?
I do. I have an add-on to my house, and it's a small room off the kitchen that goes out to the jacuzzi.
Mm.
And
you've arrived, by the way. By the way, the mudroom's a place that Bill and I are going to have a smart cocktail after the show.
Well, you're making the rounds from Mr. Pfister. Mudroom.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing a little bar hopping, Mr. Pfister, and then over the mudroom.
It's usually where you end the night.
Yeah, and again, what does it sound like when Board Op Bill makes a number two? Mark, sorry, go ahead.
I want to convert the mudroom into a kitchen pantry, so I need to take the door and wall it off. The problem is the house is all brick, so I'm not sure exactly how to brick that up to finish it off, and then what goes on the inside to keep all the bugs out.
It's a new house?
Nah. 30 years old.
I'll bet you those bricks are veneer. Either way, they're on a wall. It's not brick through and through. So here's what you need to do. You need to.
It is solid brick. Sorry.
Don't ever disagree. Okay. Here's what you need to do. You need to find a piece of that brick that's not attached to your house, or remove it somewhere where no one will see it, or have someone come over who knows more than you and tell you, here's what that brick is. That's a castaic brick. That's a whatever brick. There's, you know, bricks are sort of like apples. Is it a Granny Smith or a Ruby Red? Let somebody come over to your house and go, yes, I know that brick, and then go get that bricks to patch it in so you don't screw it up and get bricks that don't match. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. The way you're going to screw this up is getting bricks that don't match. Thus, you'll forever see the outline of the bricks that don't match on the facade of the house. Let's see, one more. Pocket door. Having trouble with a pocket door. Everyone has trouble with pocket doors. They weren't meant to work.
I don't know what they are.
The pocket door is a door that slides into the pocket.
Yeah. Inside the glory hole.
I had some. I took them out and just put in regular doors because they were sticky.
I've always said it's the fakest thing about Star Trek. It's not the fact that they're traveling through space or that Spock has pointy ears. It's the fact that they have doors that go into a pocket and then come back out again. No problemo. When everyone I've had to put both feet on the door jamb about 30 inches off the floor, grab onto it like a Bugs Bunny cartoon and wrestle with the thing.
I have it with screens, and I don't even wait. I go walk in the house. I take an X-Acto knife. I cut a rectangle the size of me right into the screen, and I never touch it again.
Actually, I've been to Danny's. It's him running with his hands out on both sides, holding a cigarette. It's actually cut out around the cigarette. Yeah, we fell in love with the pocket concept many years before we figured out the technology.
Yeah, they were terrible. When I moved into my house, I took them out, and then I bought one lights. You know what those are, right?
Single light.
And they look beautiful.
One piece of glass.
Yeah, it opens up the house.
We'll be back.
Popcorn filling. I don't even know
what that is. Everybody always asks that. I think they mean ceiling, the popcorn ceiling.
Hey, Riley.
I hate that. Hey, Adam.
You got the textured ceiling?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to remove it. I went to a couple stores, and they were like, well, you can do this, you can do that, and I wanted to ask you.
All right, I will be very quick about this. First off, people talk about the danger of asbestos in that material.
They're just saying wet it.
It's probably slim to none. Here's the way you would do it. You know what a Hudson sprayer is?
No.
Hudson sprayer is one of those sprayers that you pump up at the top, and it's the one Bill's the exterminator
pressure.
Uses. Pump. And it holds about 3 gallons or 2 gallons or whatever, and you pump it up at the top. Get one of those, because your finger will fall off, and you'll never masturbate again if you do one of the things.
But if Def Frat Guy were here right now, he would give you 27 different uses for one of those, all of which will get you high.
The Hudson sprayer, yes. It can be used as a bong in a pinch.
Oh, up your nose and your keister, whatever you need.
Take the Hudson sprayer, fill it with warm water, fill that with some sort of like, I would say the concoction you use to strip wallpaper.
Okay.
Emulsify it, soak it, and then get a straight knife and let it fall off. Now, here's the good thing about soaking it. Soaking it doesn't let it go airborne, which doesn't cause danger for the asbestos. There are little pieces of asbestos in it. Probably it's not dangerous, but you soak and it'll fall off. You scrape the whole ceiling clean and you should be ready to go. Or you just put a skim coat of joint compound, drywall mud, over the whole thing. And you sort of entomb it. It makes your ceiling 3/16 of an inch lower, but that's another way to do it, and it doesn't make a mess. So if you're handy with the drywall joint compound, you buy it in a 5-gallon bucket. It's like cake frosting, and you joint compound the whole ceiling. I don't think I recommend that one. I would soak it, get the Hudson sprayer, knock it down, and for Christ's sake, get a Mexican.
You all have earned your pay right now.
Step ladders are no place for the white man. They just aren't. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the altitude. Maybe it's the couple of Zimas we have in us. But you know how many people die every year falling off ladders?
Right, sure.
All white guys.
All white guys.
Let me explain something. Please. I don't like to get racial.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
I don't mean to get there, but the black man does not use a ladder. Too smart for that.
Right.
Terra firma. That's where the black man stays. The Latino man uses a ladder, yet like a billy goat. I've seen Mexican guys I work with on 12-pack of Bud up there dancing a ballet on the top of the thing. No problemo. The white man, he gets on the ladder. He's cleaning out the leaves. Boom. He's pulling the stuff out of the gutter. Pow. You ask around. Ask some of your friends. Ask some of the women you dated. There will be some guy's dad who died because he fell off a ladder. White guy trying to do too much. Didn't know his own limitations.
I got one question. What if the white guy, who's no damn good at this, instead of using a stepladder to change a light bulb, stands on the back of a Latino who's a billy goat? And would he balance him? Would it come out even?
I've never done the mixed racial chicken fighting with the light bulb. I would say a better plan is for you to get down on all fours. Calm down, Bill.
I'm done.
And have the guy stand on you.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Plus, if anyone ever catches you, they'll think you're very progressive. We'll take ourselves quick break. Allie Larder, the super hot chick from Heroes, right? And Varsity Blues and all those good shows. Hot blonde Allie Larder next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I'm not a whore.
From Varsity Blues, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and NBC's Heroes.
If you threaten our son again, I'm going to put my hand through your skull. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Allie Larder is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Is that Teresa when I was trying to alter her news? Look, that's great. Is that Allie Larder? Allie?
Good morning.
Good to speak to you.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. We're all fans, although I'm not sure if we've ever met. Have we ever met?
I don't think so.
Well, you say that in a good way.
I'm just waking up. You guys are sexy in the morning.
You and I have almost met. My name's Danny. I got up at when you were doing the Comic-Con thing.
Oh, Danny, you were definitely noticed. I think you're kind of unforgettable.
Well, the first thing I did was ask the first part of my question in Japanese, because Bossy wasn't getting a chance to speak in Japanese, and you could tell he wanted to. But then I asked what I thought would be a really good question, and that is, if you remember, as stars started to make $1 million an episode, people started killing off the biggest stars. And a show like Heroes, anybody could die anytime.
Absolutely.
So on Friday night, while you're waiting for Monday's script, are you always scared? That was my question.
What? I mean, honestly, I get bored very, very easily. And one of my kind of, you know, worries about even joining a show was that I was going to be stuck in the same character for so long. And it definitely keeps, like, a level of freshness on our show. Nobody knows, I mean, honest to God, how long they're staying on for. And, I mean, of course, we're committed for 6 years. If they want us, they have us. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, when certain storylines, you know, come to an end, I think that some of the actors will be happy to move on. And, you know, other than that, it definitely keeps just kind of a level of freshness on the show.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about it sort of symbolically, but everyone is always so scared of change. It's never bad when you go back and examine your life, the girlfriend or boyfriend that dumped you.
Thank God for the ones that dumped you.
Right. Thank God for that boss and that horrible job that told you just weren't cutting it, that led you down the path you are today. Everyone in life should have a symbolic TV writer tell them their character is dead.
Right.
Every few years, somebody should go, you know what? You're out. We've written you out of your crappy job. We've written you out of your crappy relationship. It's time to move on.
And they
do you a favor. Yes.
So definite anywhere. And I kind of like, you know that this life that I'm on, it is going to be so many twists and changes and ebbs and flows. And I'm into it. It keeps it exciting for me. It keeps me I feel very alive.
Well, I almost never disagree with Adam Carolla, especially on the Adam Carolla Show. But one time I did this little bitty show called The Partridge Family, and one day somebody came up to me and said, hey, you're written out, and it wasn't just a little bump in the road. It was Mount friggin' Everest.
Oh, the show was canceled, though. You weren't written out.
Can I ask Allie a question about her early modeling days? Adam Carolla has a theory about how teenage models get discovered, and I want to know how it happened for you. You were something like 14?
Yeah, I was in Philadelphia. I was kind of on the streets, and I had someone ask me if I wanted to audition for a Philadelphia Phillies commercial. And it started me off on this whole journey. I mean, I grew up in suburbia, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where, you know, you walk your dog to school and, you know, you ride your bike around. And all of a sudden I was kind of thrust into this different world in Philadelphia and New York. And it just kind of set me on a very different path.
Well, this is age. And by the way, I spent time as a young lad in Cherry Hill, New Jersey as well.
Really?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, the only story I remember from 0 to about 9 was walking through the Cherry Hill Mall in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. You probably remember that.
That's my first experience as well.
I found $50 on the ground of the mall. $50 loose. Now, not only is this $50 in 1972 or whenever it was, but this is $50 to the Carolla. So you have to, you not only have to inflate, for $1972, you have to do it for the Corollas, which have been like $1857. My mother said, We must return this to Lost and Found. I said it's a loose... I was 8 years old. I was like, bitch, use your head.
How should I know?
No, but Allie, that was the right thing, wasn't it?
But I said, who's going to claim a loose $50 bill? Not in a purse. Well, somebody claimed it.
No way.
And that's when I knew it was time to leave Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I walked to Burbank, and that's where
I think Allie left because she was too pretty to stay there. And I imagine you modeled all over the world.
I started going to New York, and then for me, it's like, you know, I got these opportunities to live in Japan and Italy, and, you know, I was never kind of tall enough or skinny enough or whatever. For me, it was just a chance to experience the world.
Well, at age 14, I mean, what did your parents say when at age 14 you said it's time to hit the road and see the world?
I was still in school. And they were incredibly supportive. I think that they just, you know, my parents my whole life have made me believe that, you know, failure wasn't an option. It wasn't possible. That as long as I kind of did everything to my best of my ability.
What was the Corolla version of that?
And I've been really lucky in that way that I've had just really positive influences on my life. So they've been supportive since the very beginning.
We had I will give you some advice about life as soon as I can pry my ass off this sofa, which will be never. That's the advice my dad gave me. Hey, Allie, let's talk about Mary Gold quick. Like, romantic musical comedy set in Bollywood, shot on location in India.
Yeah, it was incredible. I got to go and live there for a couple months. And, I mean, talk about one of the most extraordinary times of my life. The movie is about this American actress, this little bitterball girl who's only been in movies with the numbers after them.
Right.
And she goes to India to shoot this movie. Production shut down, and she ends up getting in this Bollywood musical. And for people that don't know Bollywood, it's the Indian film industry. And their movies are about singing and dancing and kind of a feast of all the senses.
They also make more movies than any world in the world.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So you watch this actress, you know, kind of go, who has no singing or dancing experience, you know, kind of stumble her way through, you know, learning how these dance moves and falling in love and the comedy of errors that comes when you inject yourself into a different culture.
Well, Allie, this can be found in limited release out in theaters as we speak.
Yeah, limited release coming out Friday, and then we go wider, I think, September 7th.
Okay, so that you would go to marygoldthefilm.com if you want to find out where it is and where it is in relation to you. Hey, Allie, come see us in studio. It'd be nice to look at you.
I'll come in. You
talk
got it.
Thank you. Yeah, Allie.
Thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
Thank you. Look,
nice to talk to her, Corolla. Not nice to look at you. That's not how you say goodbye to a movie star.
Let me say this very quickly.
Trying to talk to pizza.
Running, nice to leer at you.
Running late, yes. I'd like to eat some of that.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
That's how you do it, by the way. You see, you're friendly, you're lucid, you know the topic, and you say goodbye. God love Allie Larder. All right, Mary Gold, name of the movie, look for it. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Very good news and very bad news for Don Imus. We will discuss both of them.
Good times. We'll do that. Also, Rachel Dratch from SNL and a dear personal friend just showed up. We'll talk to her as well. Do the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, Saturday Night Live's Rachel Dratch, Hustle and Flow's Terrence Howard, some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's Vault, and comedian Ralphie May. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. T.
Yes.
The news, baby girl. What's in it?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Don Imus has reached a settlement with CBS, his former employer, our current employer, we should say. There's no confirming exactly what that settlement entails. I've read reports that he got $10 million. I've read reports that he got $20 million. Neither of them are talking as a condition of this settlement. He threatened to sue CBS for $120 million after they fired him for referring to Rutgers University women's basketball team as a phrase we're all now familiar with, nappy-headed hoes.
Mm-hmm.
So the settlement includes a non-disparagement clause, which means neither Imus nor CBS can talk smack about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good for Imus.
Yeah. What year are we living in? You know, the few things I thought we would be making a little more progress in is weed would be legal by now, and we get to be able to say what we wanted on the radio. And then the people would vote with their wallets.
Right.
You don't like Imus, you give him bad ratings. You don't like what he says, don't listen to him. Thus, no sponsors.
Don't buy soap.
Thus, no nothing. Yeah. If I did, when I did Rome yesterday, at a certain point, I was doing an interview with an athlete, a guy from Milwaukee, who you've never heard of, who plays baseball. And I said to the guy, hey, how's it going? And he said, how's it going? And he's like, well, right now we got to do, you know, we're looking to make a run toward the pennant. We're looking to win some games and we're looking to play some team ball. And I said, when you say we, you're talking about you and your genitalia. And they went, all right, stop. We got to start again. And I said, really? I said genitalia. I didn't say nutsack.
Right.
I said genitalia. And they said, listen, we can't be talking about that. And it's like, look, there's nothing but beer and truck commercials. All you guys do, you guys run a best of SmackDown highlights at the end of every show where guys are colliding with each other and NASCARs are flipping over and catching on fire and hockey guys are punching each other in the face. I can't say genitalia. Oh, no. And then it becomes this thing where I know the corporate guys in New York wouldn't have cared if I said genitalia. We're all just scared to death. So now we're going to do the worst thing, which is we're going to censor ourselves. No one knows what they can say or can't say anymore. Everyone is being threatened. And yeah, Imus does deserve to be compensated from CBS. CBS were pussies. They shouldn't have pulled him off the air.
Nope.
And now they're paying for it.
Yeah, perhaps we're all offended for a few seconds, but I think most of us have moved on.
Well, again, everybody, words versus actions.
Yeah, the guy actually didn't physically injure anyone.
Well, there is a lawsuit. Now, this is the latest news with Imus. One of the Rutgers basketball players is suing. You probably saw Kia Vaughn in the onslaught of press that followed Imus's comments. She is now suing Mr. Imus.
She was a tall black one?
She was one of the basketball players.
I saw her up there. I remember her.
On the team.
Had her hair done up.
Here is... Mm-hmm.
Long
here
nails?
Is,
I know
yes.
her. All right.
Here is her lawyer saying that he doesn't want to settle. He wants to go to trial.
Mm-hmm. I would hope that this sees the inside of a courtroom, and my client hopes that as well, because she would like to have her good name clear. This is not something that she ever asked for. She never asked to be involved in this. She would be very happy if her life was as it existed before April 4th of this year, but unfortunately that can't be done. She's just looking to get her good name back.
Well, I'm going to go, I'm going to give an example on both sides of the color spectrum here.
Yeah.
This thing, even when the guys from the Duke lacrosse scandal were saying, my client can't be employed everywhere he goes, people are looking at him. Would you know one of the white guys who was called a rapist at the Duke lacrosse trial? Now, that was wrong, and Nifung was wrong and needs to be disbarred or whatever they're going to do to him. I'm all for that. But to say that one of these guys is going to walk into your office and try to get a job and you're going to go, hey, wait a minute. Aren't you that guy that I think raped that black chick a couple years ago in North Carolina? You wouldn't know these guys. Would you know this girl? And she was called a nappy-headed hoe by an old white jackass.
Yeah.
No one looks down upon her, if anything. We just sort of look at her as a victim.
Yeah.
And we look at her as the person that won the women's NCAA basketball championship when, in fact, they lost to, Tennessee.
Yeah,
it's even actually better. People remember the Rutgers women's team. If you stopped most people and said, what happened with that? They'd say, after Rutgers won the championship, Imus teed off on them, and he never used any of their names.
Yeah.
He didn't know any of their names, of course not. I'm assuming. Neither do we. You would not know this girl from any other woman of color. Unless she was wearing a Rutgers jacket, in which case it would help her in the door of whatever job. So this whole thing where they've been victimized, they can't be employed, they can't sleep at night, people are pointing and laughing as they walk down the street, that's BS.
Right, and this is the first time ever, and I think this gives Imus an incredible amount of power. But there is a saying that's gone out through history that history is written by the winners. Mm-hmm. And in this case, that's untrue.
That's right.
History was written by the losers.
So maybe the Lady Vols.
They should volunteer for some therapy because the real losers are the lady volunteers, the women who won the championship, hoisted the trophy above their head, and then were immediately forgotten about.
Yes. All excellent athletes. Now, his spot at WFAN, it was announced yesterday, it will be taken over by an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Former NFL quarterback Boomer Esiason.
Non-stop laugh, right?
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in brief, other sports news. Former NBA ref Tim Donaghy surrendered today for his anticipated plea to gambling-related offenses. This, according to the Associated Press. He turned himself in early this morning in Brooklyn Federal Court. As you've probably heard by now, he's being accused of gambling on NBA games.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
This could be very interesting.
Rose, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pete really bet, A, only on his team to win, and doesn't really have that much of an outcome in the game itself like a ref would. Like, a ref could really alter everything, where Pete can only alter Pete.
Well, Pete can only alter Pete. The problem is a guy's named Jack, who can only alter Jack. Yeah. They can't alter Jack. Here's the thing. If you bet on the sport in general, then who cares if you're Pete Rose? If you bet on your team, but your team to win, well, who cares? That's what you do as a manager.
Right.
If you bet on your team to lose, then we have a little bit of a problem. Even then, you can't go out on the field and, you know, muff a ground ball, but you can take a guy out of the bullpen whose elbow's a little sore, tell him to finish, and have the other team hit a dinger and win.
Right.
This is much more direct.
There's talk that not only did Donaghy bet on games that he reffed, but also he had a gambling problem and he may have been involved with some low-level mobsters who were also placing bets.
It's very easily done. If you took the over-under in a game and you want to call some fouls and send some guys to the stripe, so on and so forth, you could really alter this one.
Sure. And lastly, in the sports world, I should say that legendary Yankee shortstop and Hall of Famer Phil Rizzuto died of pneumonia. He was 89 years old.
The Money Store.
Yeah, here is... Did he do ads for the Money Store?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's what he did.
That's really? Where we knew him from. There's a few things that were great about that ad. First off, his name is Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store, which sounds like the Rizzuto Crime Syndicate.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I always found funny about that commercial, even when I was 11 and they used to run it on daytime TV, is Phil Rizzuto, who at the time was like 68 years old, would come out there with his glasses and his gray hair, and he'd be talking to someone, and a 9-year-old boy would run up and go, "Dad, it's Phil Rizzuto!" Like the kid that was born in 1971 knows about the guy who played his ball in the 30s. He recognized a graying Phil Rizzuto, the 9-year-old knew.
Well, Derek Jeter recognized him, and here Derek Jeter is paying his respects to Phil Rizzuto.
He exemplifies everything about a baseball player. You know, it's not how big you are, it's how big you play, and he played a lot bigger than he was.
He was 5'6".
Short man. That's right.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on to a legal story. Out of Indiana, a 25-year-old was in court. He was facing 4 felony counts for abusing his wife earlier this year. He was offered a very good plea deal. Plead guilty, get sentenced to time served, a little probation. So, obviously, he took the deal. But there was just one more thing. The judge wanted to know from the victim if she was okay with this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
his wife.
Right. He asked the wife of this 25-year-old to please stand up and to tell the court whether or not she was okay with this, him just doing time served and probation. So a woman stood up and said, "Yes, I'm fine with this very generous plea." But prosecutors thought they smelled a rat. It didn't seem right. The woman seemed a little old to be his wife, who was supposed to be in her 20s.
The widow of Phil Rizzuto has moved on to a new man, yes?
No.
No? I'm going to look into this.
The prosecutor.
Mommy.
Mm-mm.
No.
Phil Rizzuto's mother. Yes?
The prosecutor stopped the proceedings in court and asked the judge to look into things. The judge said, okay, they checked some photos. That was not the wife of the abuser. No, That was his 47-year-old mom, Rebecca Crowe, posing as his wife to help him get a lighter sentence. So she was arrested and charged with contempt of court. She's now serving 30 days in jail. Now, when they finally did contact his real wife, for some reason, she was okay with Christopher's plea deal also.
No, must have been very uncomfortable when they're like, they're in the car, they're out front of the courthouse, like, Mom, if we're going to pull this off, we're going to have to sell it. You understand me? I know what you mean, son. When we hit this sidewalk in front of the reporters, in front of God, in front of everyone, I'm going to have to throw you some deep tongue.
Oh, no.
Right on. Oh. Now, look, Mom, you're doing this because you love me, right? But do you love me? Ugh. Let's do it. Here we go. You want a Tic Tac? Oh, I can taste Dad.
I just threw up in my mouth.
How does a 47-year-old try to pass herself off as a 25-year-old? Lie about their age to that extent.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how someone does that.
I mean, I lie by a little, but I'm not tacking 20 years on.
No, 22, yeah.
22, yeah.
But that's a mom.
Yeah.
You know, on one hand, I think, God, you poor white trash. This just sounds like white trash to me. It's got it written all over it and all pathetic. And then there's part of me who goes, my mom would never do that for me. That's a good mom.
Right.
My mom would. Absolutely.
She would?
I use this. I'm doing this kid of the show about the next child star, and I've got all their moms, and they're being semi-polite in the beginning. Now they're killing each other. But in the beginning, I said, what's wrong with you people? When I was a kid, if I was up for the same part as your kid, my mom would have cut your brake lines by now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom would have done anything for me and still would anytime.
I kind of like that.
If I said, Mom, I fell off the wagon, not alcohol, but I'm taking heroin now, Mom, and they're going to drug test me at work. Could you please pee in this cup? My mom would go, okay. Huh. For you, my boy. She wouldn't do it for John, Sawyer, Anthony, because I'm her boy.
Nice.
They could all burn in hell, those other three siblings.
Enabler or great mom? Hard to tell.
I'm going both.
Well, let me close with this story about a robber in Ashland, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He was trying to rob a liquor store, but he didn't have a mask. Either that or he didn't want to wear one, so he came up with a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know, duct tape is very useful.
Used for everything but taping duct work.
That's
what it's used for.
Well, he used it to hide his identity. He taped around his head and face.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it also kind of hiked up his T-shirt and back of his head.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And one of the employees of the store said he looked like Cornholio from Beavis and Butthead.
So he
goes in to rob the store, and apparently he wasn't taken very seriously because he was covered with duct tape. The store manager grabbed a bat behind the counter, which coincidentally was partially wrapped in duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
Chased him off. He was tackled in the parking lot. The cops got there, and in the process, this poor guy's lip got busted up. He's been charged with first-degree robbery, and some believe his mugshot has become an instant classic.
Yeah.
He still has a duct tape.
Really? He still has a duct tape?
It's a great shot.
There's a lot of duct tape.
Well, then they take the duct tape off?
You would think so. Maybe they have an alternate shot, but there is one available.
Do. What they do is your MO shot, which was the duct tape.
Thank you.
Then they do the full frontal, then they do the side, then they do your tattoos, then they do your scars. Not that
the
I know.
The more you know.
You show him the C-section?
Yeah. Not on me, on the girl that was with me.
He hides it with the pubes.
That wasn't a girl, Danny. That was the problem.
That's the news.
That's one lousy arrest.
News. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All righty. Well, Rachel Dratch, one of the nicest people in show business from SNL, is coming in, and also, many other projects. We'll bring her in. She's got a new movie. Talk to her next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser from Saturday Night Live.
Now, Tyler, what's that you've got there?
Well, this is a caulking gun. It is the most essential tool in keeping the cold out of your home.
So, Tyler, walk us through this.
What you need to do is take your caulking gun and place a thin bead all along the crack.
So, Tyler, what you're doing, and this is for the audience at home, you're filling that crack up with caulk.
That's right.
Oh, you make it seem so easy.
Rachel Dratch.
Anytime I'm around caulk, it's a recipe for disaster.
It's on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, baby doll.
Hi.
Ah, there you are.
Hi.
I'm
Danny.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Rachel and I, we go way back because her brother Dan, who's now riding on Monk, was my assistant at the Man Show. Not my assistant, my rider assistant.
Right.
He did all the writing. I laid on the floor of his cubicle.
And said, I'm Adam Carolla.
I picked the petals off a daisy and waxed poetic.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's very funny, your brother.
He is funny, yes.
Yeah, we were lucky to have him. At least I was. Rachel, turns out everyone in the Dratch family is funny. Did your parents now, I know a little something about your past. I think your dad's a doctor, right?
He is, yeah.
So he's an educated professional.
Yes.
And his kids both wanted to go to Hollywood, essentially, and become comedians or writers or performers. Did he try to dissuade you?
Well, the weird thing is, like, when we were growing up, we were just kind of regular. Like, we weren't these, like, showbiz kids who were like, I gotta get to Hollywood when we were little or anything. So it just sort of, I don't know, it just sort of happened that way. But he was cool about it because he's kind of into comedy. He's sort of funny, so he didn't discourage us, really.
So he let you go. And you had, well, how long did you struggle before you started to have some success? You started in Second City?
Yeah, I moved out to Chicago, and I also wanted to be a therapist. But then I was like, well, I'll move out to Chicago, and then this probably won't work out. And then I can go back to Boston and kind of be a normal professional or whatever. But then, like, just really slowly baby steps kind of worked out. So then, I did the Second City Touring Company for, like, 3 years. Then I was on the main stage for 4 years, and then SNL.
You guys, you were picked. That's where they discovered you at Second City.
Well, yeah, like they fly you out to audition, and then I auditioned. You have to do like three characters and some impressions or whatever, and then then I didn't get it that year. So then I moved everything out to L.A., and then I got to audition the next year, and then I got it.
The impressions thing would kill me. I mean, yeah, we all agree that theoretically we're all fairly amusing, or we wouldn't be in this room. Mm-hmm. Could you pass the do three characters part? I could never.
I do me tired, me angry, and me angry and tired.
Do you remember the impressions you did?
Well, see, I wasn't so good at impressions either, so I sort of, I did Calista Flockhart, which I ended up doing on the show, but the other two, I sort of like fudged the other two. Like I did like a Teletubby or something like that. I don't remember. At the time, of course, that was very topical.
Sure.
But I mean, like, I didn't, I kind of like faked my way through the impression, sort of, yeah.
Well, I do the same impression every time. I'll do any celebrity at all as long as they have throat cancer.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm a home runner or Brenda Vaccaro.
Here's Danny doing Orson Bean.
Oh, he does an amazing.
He does Jim Neighbors.
Yeah.
He does the Gomer Pyle Jim Neighbors. And the opera singing Jim Neighbors.
But he also actually does Christopher Walken.
Yeah. But he does it better than Jay Moore. Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, and a lot of guys do the Dana Carvey President Bush.
Yeah.
Not Bonaducci. Yeah. He does
throat
his
cancer.
President
Let's hear this.
Bush.
I gotta hear this.
Oh. Hold on. He's just added the latest one to his repertoire. Yeah. He does Rachel Dratch.
Oh.
Now he does Rachel doing Calista Flockhart.
That's amazing.
Never gets old.
No, it does not. I wanted to ask you about
this. I gotta have more cowbell.
That's right. It sounds just like about your first year at SNL, because you hear nothing about how intensely, I mean, you hear nothing but how intensely stressful it is.
You know, it is really stressful. Like your first, my first year, I was the only new person too, so I didn't have anyone to like, you know, go huddle in a corner with, sort of. But I knew some people there from who had gotten there before me, so that kind of helped. But yeah, it's definitely stressful because it's kind of just like they throw you in the pool like the baby trying to swim or something, and then you kind of just, you know, flop around and try to find your way, sort of. But you find a writer that you kind of like working with or whatever, and it's definitely a lot of pressure.
Well, you look like you're under pressure just talking about the pressure.
Yeah, it's almost like post-traumatic just thinking back on it.
No, but it's really fun.
I remember
fun
when I was a nom at SNL.
No, it's super fun, but then it's also like, actually, now that I've been off of it for a year, so I only remember all the really fun things. So I really idealize it. But, you know, the good thing is, though, I think in the old days, I think the cast was a little bit more like cutthroat from what I've heard about the stories.
I gotta say,
like now it's a pretty sort of ensemble-y, supportive kind of, you know, it's not really.
I'm sure it varies quite a bit from cast to cast and drug to drug.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty clean bunch.
Yeah,
Tina
Fey not strung out.
God, you missed the good years.
She's on Smack.
7 seasons, by the way. Rachel Dratch in studio. 7 seasons on SNL. How's SNL doing now? Do you know? I always assume it's doing all right, but everyone always seems to be complaining about it, but yet it never goes away, and it seems like to make herpes. Money. Right. Everyone complains about it and never goes away.
Flares up.
You know what? Like, it's kind of the thing, like, everyone loves to bash. So
yes.
It's always, like, throughout the years, there's been so many articles, like, Saturday Night did, and everyone thinks that's, like, the first time that the... But I don't know. At the same time, then a really great sketch happens, and then everyone's talking about it. It's sort of, you know, I don't know. It endures.
I've said in its defense many times, first off, everyone waxes nostalgic about the glory days with the John Belushis and the Chevy Chases and the Gilda Radners. Go watch not the highlights of 1977. Just watch any given Saturday from the second season and see how crappy it is.
I just watched Garrett Morris on so much crack that he has no idea what scene he's in.
Or better yet, watch Buck Henry's The Lovable Pedophile. That was that bit's like, hey, honey, bend over and tie your shoes. And he's just like, putting his hand down his pants and he's in his 50s. Like, hey, that's good stuff. He's a pedophile.
That made me laugh when I was little.
I mean,
I had no idea. But.
It's a 50-year-old guy who's looking at Gilda Radner with pigtails on. He's playing a 4-year-old.
But some of the fastest I ever saw, maybe ever, on a live show was when he was doing, Belushi was doing Samurai Deli Guy and cut Buck Henry right across the face with his sword. Was flipping out and caught him right in the face. Mm. And when they went to the news, the anchor, Jane Curtin, said, this just in, a drugged out John Belushi cut guest host right across the face. And they showed it in slow motion and he cut him right across the eye.
Ooh. Well, I was just thinking about the, you know, I don't consider myself uptight, but if someone would have said, hey, I got a bit where we give Belushi a samurai sword and he kind of wings it. I'd be like, well, where is Belushi? Well, he's on a crack bender right now. Maybe we shouldn't. Let's do the one where he throws the Nerf ball at the guy. Let's not do the one where he swings around the samurai sword.
They haven't approached you with the Bonaducci bazooka bit yet?
No, they have not. My agent will be getting involved. Rachel.
Yes.
Let's talk a little freshman orientation.
Oh, well, it's a movie that's coming out August 31st in L.A. and then to select cities, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Once steam.
I play, my character's name is Very Drunk Chick. I don't even have a name. And I'm just the person that, like, graduated college 10 years ago and, like, hangs out and just
Rob
is
Lowe
drunk
and St. Elmo's Fire.
Right?
He hangs around with the college kids and he tries to party with them.
Yeah, but Rob was the same age as the people he was hanging out. He just went back to capture a little of his youth with the college kids. I saw it 20 minutes ago.
Rob,
I would love a picture, a time-lapse photography picture of me on my sofa watching St. Elmo's Fire. Here's how it would go. It'd be like minute two into the movie. This is lame. This is gay. Minute 22. Now a beer in my hand. This is so lame. This is so gay. Minute, and now hour 46. God, is this lame and gay. Me sinking deeper into the sofa. Now 2 hours, 10 minutes, a single tear dripping down my right cheek. This is so lame and gay. I'm going to watch it again. When St. Elmo's Fire comes on cable, you try to get away from it, and you're like, I'm going to watch it right up to the point where Demi Moore does coke with the Arab guys, and then I'm out!
And she has the step monster, so of course I love it.
I'm out, and then you watch that, and then here comes Rob Lowe. He got a job at the filling station and his saxophone,
you really
can't.
I have seen this lately.
No, I'm not kidding. He's not necessarily seen it.
Is your movie, Freshman Orientation, as good as St. Elmo's Fire?
Oh, my God. I hope so.
Be careful, Rachel. Be very careful.
Yeah.
You're going. You're treading on some very sacred ground.
Here's Adam Carolla right on the door,
if
man.
If you
be
say
careful.
It's as good, I will go out and
I
see
it. I hope it is.
Did Rob Lowe ever guest on SNL when you were there?
Oh, my gosh. Wait. I think he was there on one of my very first shows. Yeah. Oh, he did. It was my second show. Oh, this is kind of funny. I mean, not funny. Ha ha. Don't get your hopes up.
Funny radio.
Funny, peculiar. No, I don't know what this is. Anyways, my first show, like my very first SNL show, like your scene can get cut out at any time, sort of. So the little thing I was supposed to do was cut out. So of course, it was my first show. I told like everyone I know, like, I'm gonna be on Salem. And then I wasn't in. And then the second show, that was Rob Lowe. Again, same thing. scene was cut out. So I didn't really get on till the third show.
They edited the sketch?
No, like they put in too many scenes in the dress rehearsal, like four.
Oh, in the dress rehearsal. So it never got shot.
Yeah, so then you walk in after dress and there's this list up of the scenes that are in and the ones that are out. And then, like, if your scene's on the wrong side of the board, then you're out.
I couldn't imagine the pressure, as we talked about earlier, and SNL, well, a couple things, as I always say. Sketch comedy is really hard to do.
Oh, my God.
But people think it's easy. And that is a problem because people watch and they go, I work with dudes who are funnier than that. You could not. I guarantee if you're listening to my voice right now, unless you're Will Ferrell, you could not do sketch comedy, and especially every single week, new sketches, new material.
You.
It is so hard. If you're within the sound of my voice, you should do the improvisational comedy. Get yourself with Drew Carey and Whose Line Is It Anyway? People will think you're a genius because they'll go, oh, my God, I could never do that. Well, in fact, you could do that more easily than you could do the sketch.
Wow.
Yes.
I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
All jobs. And this is what the message I want everyone to walk away from. It's too late for Rachel Dratch. She already went down that path. Your job is to find a job that other people think is harder than it is.
Oh, yeah, I see
I've used
point.
The example of house painter. I was a house painter before I was a carpenter. And when I would go to someone's house and they'd go, how much to paint the master bedroom? And I go, I don't know, $600. They go, $600? I'll get the retarded neighbor kid to do it for $400. No problem. See ya. Or I'll do it myself, or I'll wait till my son comes home from college. He can do it. So everyone thinks they can paint their bedroom. But when you work as a carpenter and you're going to hang someone's door, they have to pay you because they don't think they can do it.
Yeah.
They're probably right.
Yeah.
But you don't want a job that everyone sits back and goes, I could do that.
Right,
I just
don't
have the time. That's what Saturday Night Live is. That's what sketch comedy is. And it's so much harder than that. And people should appreciate it more, but they don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good answer. You know, sometimes if you don't have an answer like, okay, just look at them and ponder like, God, you're such a genius. That one works too.
Rachel, some of the best parts.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
It's fun when you see the actors breaking up. Like, you see that they're trying to contain their own laughter. Did that ever happen to you during a sketch where you couldn't stop laughing? Do you remember the sketch?
Well, I would try not to do that because, like, you know, if you do that too much, like, the audience loves when people crack up.
Right.
But if you do it too much, then it's kind of cheap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not signing on to that statement. No, but so I would try not to, but sometimes that, like the one that I laughed the most in was the first Debbie Downer one with Lindsay Lohan. I don't know what happened, but I just couldn't stop laughing. And every time, you know, there's this really serious subject matter, and I knew the close up was coming, I just totally lost it whole sketch.
Was it the vomit on her shoes? Is that what made you laugh?
This was a while ago. This was the first time she hosted.
Was it the one
the vomit on her shoes?
Was it the one where she was 17 and wearing the push-up bra? Was it the whole Harry Potter big jug?
Yeah, she hosted twice. I don't remember which one that was, but she did that sketch.
That one was like, it was a whole thing about how big her jugs were.
I saw it.
Except for at the time she was a minor. Little in the old Buck Henry, little flavor of the old pedophile stuff there, which was, it was all about how big her rack was. That was the entire sketch.
She had developed over the summer.
She developed a huge rack over the summer.
Yeah.
And I was watching it going, hey, yeah. And then I was thinking, wait a minute, she's a minor.
Dude, I remember we had to sit around when I first started in radio.
Thank you.
Britney Spears was like 16 and in that red vinyl suit and the schoolgirl outfit. And you had to sit there. I had to wait 2 years to go, I'd do her.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait 2 years because you can't possibly say that about a 16-year-old Britney
Rachel,
Spears.
Do you have yourself a boyfriend? Or
I don't.
What's up, baby?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't get that.
I don't know.
Single guys.
She's adorable and funny.
Thank you.
And speaking of racks.
Oh no.
Nice D size.
Yeah. Is that a D?
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was afraid of coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
No, that's other shows. We're smart, but we'll get to
this.
This
is my negative fantasy.
Really?
Now it's happening.
I wish that would happen to me.
Negative fantasy.
Seriously, when I woke up this morning, I was like, I hope they don't
You had a negative fantasy?
Well, that's funny. Negative fantasy is basically like a sense of dread.
My negative fantasy is like an A-cup. Negative...
That's my actual life.
I'm saying about you guys talking about this.
John Lennon actually wrote your real album, which was called Double Fantasy.
That's right. No.
Double D Fantasy.
All right, here we go.
Dude, we're the smart show that still talks about boobs. Don't confuse us with a stupid fart sound effect show to talk about boobs. You're we're the bright one. Oh, thanks, Brian.
Who talks mostly about farting and boobs? No, well, hold on a second, Rachel. This this is a blessing. You've been blessed. What are you talking about?
And you have talent.
Dudes, I'm begging you.
Why be so modest? And what's the problem? Are you shy? Are you a shy person?
How many people are listening to this?
A couple million,
according to last Arbitron.
One or 2 million.
I'm shy.
You're shy.
I'm shy.
But don't.
You're on Saturday Night Live.
I know, but I'm in characters.
Yeah.
Right. You hide behind
dudes.
You hide behind your character.
And she's not coming in here in spandex. I mean, she's in kind of a roomy top.
She's like double and triple covered.
Yeah, she's layered. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe you're too layered.
We can figure this out later.
You know,
put those glasses and mustaches on them, and then they'd be in character, then we could probably talk about them.
You know who you're like in St. Elmo's Fire, Mayor Winningham?
Yes.
She wore layers. She thought she wasn't attractive enough for Rob Lowe.
She was.
Well, Rob took her virginity, before he packed his beautiful face in a saxophone and headed to the bright lights of New York City, just like you did. Are you Mayor Winningham or are you Demi Moore?
I
might be closer to Mayor.
Mm. Yeah, hide your light under a bushel.
I see you as an Ally Sheedy. Waiting to blossom.
I like that. Yeah. All right.
That's what I want to see. A little less Mayor Winningham, a little more Ally Sheedy.
Okay, I'll try.
Not modern day crazy Ally Sheedy.
Oh, man.
80s St. Elmo's Fire Ally Sheedy.
With her pearls on.
That's
right.
Is that
the one where she was like, Alex?
Yes, I want the Ally Sheedy that put pearls on and got it on in the shower with what's his name, the guy who pouts and smokes all the time.
I gotta watch this movie again. I remember there were blowing curtains in Demi Moore sitting in an empty room.
She was trying to freeze herself to death.
Oh yeah.
Very
she's
poignant.
Upset about her stepmonster dying.
All right, we got to get you set up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How are we going to do that, Rachel?
Who do we know that's single?
I don't know. What's my type? Here's the problem. My type is people that I shouldn't date.
Like who?
Like, I mean, like I usually go for, like, comedian types who that just doesn't work. So,
right.
So I feel like I need to go a little more stable, but I don't want boring stable.
Right. You want an interesting
civilian. So I don't know. I'm
civilian.
Looking for this, like, limbo land of...
Here's
that guy is an actor.
Here's the problem. The problem is, guys make this mistake,
that guy isn't out there.
Too. Okay. No, what guys do is, guys get into show business, and they want to date other chicks in show business, because they want dynamic, and they want to go, oh yes, I'm dating that chick from that show.
Right, until their careers do better, and then you want to kill them.
Right. That is a mistake. You shouldn't be doing that. You should date civilians, but women... who are in show business really don't want to date civilians.
Right.
You don't want to be funnier than the guy you're with, especially when you put such a bounty on being funny. On the other hand, funny guys are nuts.
Yeah.
You don't want to deal with that. You should do, you know what you should be thinking about?
What?
You do what the hot, yes.
No.
No. No.
I'm going back to the marathon.
Judd Nelson.
Sorry.
No.
Here's what Judd.
Anthony Michael Hall.
A guy named Judd. He wasn't in that movie, idiot.
Well, Judd Nelson was in Breakfast Club with him.
Wait,
so
I
I'm
cut
extending.
You off and you're about to give me a perfect
This isn't
wisdom.
7 degrees of Judd Nelson. Now be quiet.
Get it now.
Reggie Nelson.
All right. Here's what you need.
Okay, yeah.
Here's what the chicks do.
Help me.
They have... they're actresses, they're models, they're whatever. The first time they have the high-profile marriage when they're like 25 to the other actor, model, whoever, it never works out. Then they have a succession of dating people you've heard of. That never works out. Eventually, they go, screw it, I'm going to date a guy who's into real estate.
Yeah,
right. I know.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's where you're at now.
Yeah.
Forget about, let's not do the failed marriages. Let's not do the dating about town with the guys you think you know. Go right to the guy who's in real estate.
Yeah,
I'm scared of those guys.
He's in real estate. Look, he's not there to entertain you.
Yes,
he's
hello.
He's there
my name is Graham
to pay
Wellington.
The bills and perform oral. Do you understand?
Oh, man.
You know, your friend Ray is into real estate, and he's here.
Yeah.
That's nice to do to a guest.
He's into apartments in that he rents one. That's the extent of his real estate.
He's into
Bring Ray in here, because ladies love Ray.
See, I would say date a guy.
Adam's childhood friend.
And Ray loves Ray, so okay. this may work
Ray.
Out.
He's not
and
Danny exactly
loves
in
Ray.
Show business. Hi. But is show business adjacent?
Mm-hmm.
He understands your schedule. He understands the demands on
He's
it.
He's kind of like the Beverly Hills post office.
Be like dating her brother.
Mm.
Yeah, I do brother. Look exactly like my brother.
You could do worse real. Than dating Dan Trent.
I do.
We had an inner office flame when he was working on the Man Show. Wait a minute. Nate has a suggestion. Ooh. Nate?
Hey, Rachel. How you doing?
Good. Mm-hmm. Who's this? The common people?
This is Nate.
This is our
from
listener.
Las Vegas.
Oh, hi, Nate. Hi, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing? I told your phone screener that I had a huge crush on you. I think you're awesome. You're funny.
Mm-hmm.
I went through Second City, the training course in Vegas, and I have a lot of respect for people with talent like you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you.
See, that paid off.
But, Nate, she needs an artiste. She needs someone who's funny, who's going to entertain her, that they can collaborate on imaginary projects with. You need a man.
Say you're a sculptor.
I did stand-up, and now I got a real job.
Oh, good.
All right.
Real job. I like that.
And laughs at his own jokes.
What's your real job?
I'm a building inspector.
Ah, this you see? There you go. Salt of the earth.
Thank you. All right.
The problem is I also have a wife and three kids.
Man.
Well, I appreciate what's the word? Kind words.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another fan.
I'm scared.
I'm going to pronounce this as it's written.
Yeah.
Humbert?
Yeah.
You're awesome, Adam. Oh, you're awesome.
What's happening, Humbert?
Hey, man, not much, man. Not much. Hey, Rachel, I think you're awesome. I think one of your funniest sketches was when you played Arianna Huffington.
Oh, my God.
On the Gibb Show.
Wow. Mm.
Oh, give us a little taste. Give us a shot of her or Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Well, here you go. It's,
Not you, Dumbo.
See, you had a chance with her and you blew it.
Arianna Huffington. It's like the sound of your voice is like somebody's dropping a car battery on my sack.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's what the...
Can you still do that?
Give us a little taste, Arianna.
No, you know what? I really didn't even have an impression. They put a wig on me. I had, like, no lines.
Do Arianna.
I can't.
I'll do it.
Dance for Daddy.
If you want Ray, you'll dance.
I don't even remember that. That was Jimmy Bell in the Barry Gibb talk show.
I'm waiting.
Oh, no.
What do you think of Ray? Easy on the eyes,
yeah.
Easy
on the eyes, yeah.
He's rad, too.
He's really attractive. Cool. He's a self-starter, although he hasn't started yet.
Yes.
All right.
Well, let me say this to Rachel. Is it just that you date comedians and comedy writers because that's all you meet, or is that specifically what you're looking for?
Well, maybe both. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's who I've met in the past.
Would you go out
to change it up.
With a civilian, just a guy who was a chef or a real estate guy?
Well, I don't know. The real estate thing kind of scares me, but the chef thing sounds interesting.
Does he have to have a great sense of humor?
It would be nice, but he doesn't have to be like comedian level humor.
Mm-hmm. He could just understand
be fun. Yeah.
What about if he's a guy that makes a very comfortable living being funny? But really isn't that funny.
Yeah.
That guy.
I'm trying to think of who that was.
Yeah, you know where I was going, bitch.
Not around here.
Orange Ruffy.
All right. Well, we'll try to see what we can do. As a matter of fact, I just got handed a note that Terrence Howard.
That's one as well.
Yeah.
Get your Jewish dad to kill himself. Terrence Howard. Look at that. He's got blue eyes. Get the gun. Terrence Howard is coming on the show next. Rachel Dratch. Ray.
Yeah.
Such an idiot.
Yeah.
Ray and Rachel. It's cute together.
Ray and Ray.
Ray's phone going off. Freshman Orientation is the name of the movie. I also recommend St. Elmo's Fire.
You've hardly seen it.
Look for me in St. Elmo's Fire.
Rachel. August 31st, everyone. Give a big kiss to your brother for me.
We'll
be back with Terrence Howard next.
Thank you.
In theaters September 7th, The Hunting Party, starring Terrence Howard and Richard Gere.
You hear people talk about the horrors of war. There ain't no secret here. If you're just reporting it, war has its bright side.
You're gonna go back out into this mess and shoot something.
You feel it.
You feel it. You feel it.
Being that close to death, being that alive, it's different. And if
anyone tells you otherwise, they are lying.
Terrence Howard is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Terrence is not here yet, but I'll tell you a sure way to get him. As Danny has described many times, best way to get your food when you're waiting at a restaurant is to light a cigarette.
Yep.
Best way to get an actor to call into the show is for me to start off on another direction.
Absolutely. Pick a really red-hot subject or topic or phone in, and sure enough, your movie star is going to call.
Right, although we may have just jinxed it by announcing that. Either way, we have a couple moments to kill before Terrence Howard calls in. So I was watching... I was watching Extra last night. I have the same relationship with the entertainment shows as I do with St. Elmo's Fire. This is so lame. Who watches this crap? I announce every single evening at 7 o'clock until 7:30 while I'm wasting my life watching Extra. I would love a montage of me sitting at my kitchen table eating dinner, and it would say, you know, it would say winter 1997 and be me going, who watches this crap? And then the calendar pages would blow by and I'd have a long beard and I'd be in my 70s and it'd say 2041 and it'd be me, it'd say fall 2004 and me with a beard down to my ankles and I'd be going, who watches this crap? I'd be shaking my cane and then it would go to the future and I'd be in a space helmet with my toast buzzing around on a little serving thing that was a rocket ship, and it'd be like, who watches this crap? And then it would go to my head that was just not attached to me, just wires coming out, sitting in a plate of formaldehyde, and it would say 3046, and it'd be me going, who watches this crap?
Your head in a glass.
Yes, and the guy, Mark McGrath, would look exactly the same.
Yeah, he doesn't change.
He doesn't change, and it's me yelling, who watches this crap? That's all I do. I guess the answer is me.
See, the only difference between your little fantasy and mine was you start with the calendar blowing, which is pretty standard. Mm-hmm. I start with newspapers spinning.
Yeah.
It starts with trouble in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it spins and spins and spins. And then it stops with, take your flying car to work today. And you know he's been watching for 40 years.
I missed the spinning newspaper for the passage of time. Oh, you kids with your internet. You don't know from spinning newspapers. Terrence Howard.
What's happening, man?
Otherwise known the king of indie films.
Great to speak to you, Terrence.
How you feel, Adam?
I feel very good now.
Don't say it like that.
I'm a big fan. Terrence Howard is one of these guys. I think you get street cred for knowing. He'd be one of these guys to say he was cool to hang out with. There are other actors that may be bigger. Maybe John Travolta's bigger, but you get no cred for hanging out with him. Terrence Howard, that would be a cool guy to say you hung out with.
So when do we hang out, Adam?
Ooh. Oh, please. Your publicist would dive in between us.
Yeah. That's all great.
And stab at me with a fork if I got near you.
Nah, I think we'd have a better time than these interviews I do.
Do you live in Los Angeles?
I live in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Where I was born.
Really?
Yeah, I'm from Philly. But I want to talk to you about something really important. Speaking of Adam, how do you feel about Adam accelerators until we do the Adam smashing?
I like the... do it.
He loves physics,
it says,
by the way.
I didn't even know what I was saying. It just says his name. Love is physics.
No, the smashing. See, the problem with the smashing is you end up losing so much of the energy because a lot of neutrons are given off. And neutrons burn up about 80% of the energy. So it's pointless sense of energy. It's part of fission instead of fusion.
You're that nerd.
Terrence, I'm sorry. I was totally kidding. Neutrons to me are that kid with the big head on Cartoon Network, Jimmy Neutron. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, Terrence, since we are speaking to someone who has an opinion about this stuff, what do you think as far as energy and the future? What do you think the answer is?
Well,
what do you think
energy,
the best way to go is?
What they're going to end up doing is a thing called H3, mm-hmm. which is helium-3. They normally find it after a fission reaction, you know, from an atomic bomb. You know, it's a radioactive decay. But also the sun gives it off in a large quantity, and there's a large quantity of it on the moon. And that's why in the next 20 years, there's been this huge upsurge of countries trying to get back to the moon to mine this helium-3 off of the... off of the moon and bring it back here. But there's another way they can do it. All they really need to do is set up these little shields, not shields, but screens that work like sponges right outside of our Earth's atmosphere, because that's what keeps that helium-3 that comes off of the sun's explosions from actually getting to the planet. It's our atmosphere that blocks it.
Well, hold on a second, Terrence. I think the sponge thing is practical and great and all, but as far as my movie idea, where it's the year 2041, me and Terrence Howard are on a ore barge that's going to the moon, but there's an evil cyborg that's been sent from the big company that now runs everything, because that's what the future is. Crapicon. No, Evilcon.
Evacon
runs everything. Terrence and I are rebel miners. We get that whole black and white buddy thing going the whole time.
Sure, like a lethal weapon thing.
Yeah, it's a lethal weapon. Picture lethal weapon on the moon. Mining ore.
I got it.
You're talking about $4 billion a ton for helium-3.
So. Use that. That'll be in the script.
That's what we need.
And if we're looking for sci-fi and evil empire, you could call it Enron Hubbard. Nice, huh? By the way, that was Adam that said that bug his house.
That'll be the working title.
Do you mind if I dumb down the conversation, Terrence Howard?
Ahead.
Okay. You gave an interview to Elle Magazine, and you talked about not believing in premarital sex. Did they get that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in it, but it's hard to practice it.
got it.
So that's what I was trying to say.
So, I mean, you're somebody who wants to do something about global warming but drives an Escalade.
No. No. I'm somebody who wants to be the best person I can, but it's hard as what?
Mm-hmm.
I still have my principles. I still make mistakes at the same time. That's what I was saying.
Well, are you a single man now?
Yes, I am.
Smart.
You know, there was a chick from Saturday Night Live here a few minutes ago looking for you.
Yeah.
And you know what else I like that you spoke to Elle about was the need for women to have baby wipes handy.
Yes, they need to.
Mm-hmm. They need to stay fresh.
Well, look at it. If you walk down the street and you slipped your hand in some human feces, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody handed you a dry piece of tissue to wipe it off, you would look at them like they were crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. You need moisture.
You need moisture. You need something to clean it.
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, the backside needs the same thing.
I see.
I'm with you.
Him up to he lost me in the beginning and regained me at the end, because I think if I'm walking down the street and someone sticks their hand in human feces,
well, you know,
I got to think they're crazy.
Well, no, you slip and fall into
right.
It.
You get a point.
Feces. You're going to clean your hands, and I'm saying we need to be cleaner. We're smarter than it. We're not in the caveman days, man.
That's right.
We need to use what's available. Clean yourselves, man.
I agree with Terrence Hughes. I mean Howard Hughes. I mean Terrence Howard. Listen, Terrence, I got to tell you, here's the problem with your theory. Nothing except for your, how old, 40, 38? 38 years of age. It is fine until you start collecting your own urine and walking around in Kleenex boxes and putting foil over the windows and growing a beard down to your knees.
We're not doing that.
I'm saying this is the beginning part. The beginning part is always great. Oh, you love physics. You're great at math. You have feelings about feces. Wait till we talk to Terrence in 30 years and he's spinning out of control.
But maybe Terrence has been burned by somebody who wasn't that fresh down there.
Ah.
Well, no. It's just after I had my children, I was looking at them. I was like, man, I would never just take a piece of tissue and clean them.
Yeah, that's right.
I would always, so I was like, why not use it myself? 15 years later, not a streak in my drawers.
I concur.
Any streaks in the drawers?
Oh, no, I'm a wreck that way.
No.
Are you?
The first thing I like to do is break down barriers, because I think I'm lactose intolerant. I don't know what it is, but I get gas a lot, so I have to get that out of the way with a new girlfriend pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But anything beyond that, like the marks he's talking about, those embarrass me bad.
I have stains in the front, stains in the back, and on the side.
I
have a racing stripe that goes down the side of my underpants. I don't even know how it got there.
Baby wipes would do it.
I will do it, but I will tell you this, Terrence Howard from The Hunting Party with Richard Gere in theater September 7th. Terrence, my friend Jimmy Kimmel, you've probably done his TV show a time or two. Well, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it to you now. He uses the baby wipes himself, yeah, except for his wife left out those Clorox wipes that you use to wipe down the sink.
And he burned his ass.
He had a couple of beers and grabbed that baby instead of the baby wipes. And there's a big difference between bleach and aloe.
Yes.
Yep.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me that. I'm going to have to remind him of that next time I see him.
Yes. Yes, he may have been one of the early pioneers in the bleaching of the anus process that a lot of the porn stars
are doing these days. Now, are you a parent by any chance?
Yes, I have three kids.
Have you yet to do the thing where you brush your teeth with stuff that isn't toothpaste? I've done it with Desidin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the toothbrush.
Yes. Why do they make it look like so much like toothpaste? It is stupid.
I think somebody's playing a cruel joke. They know somebody's going to use it.
I did Vagisil.
Oh, no.
That's...
Yeah.
Well, some people do Vagisil without even knowing it.
That was me.
You thought it was just toothpaste.
I thought it was toothpaste.
Oh, that served the same purpose.
I agree with Terrence in that when the first time I cleaned up my kid after they crapped up the diaper, I thought, I shouldn't be wiping this. I should throw the kid in the washing machine.
Or
I would throw the kid literally in the washing machine and put on like the double cycle because just wiping it doesn't, that just seems like you're
smearing.
Yeah, it's like when
y'all
you put,
don't kill me with this.
You put wax on a car hood, you wipe it off, it's still there.
Yes, it is.
Just wipe off the film part. The other part's in the pores. You're pushing it back into the kid.
Right.
I agree. Get the wet naps, toss them in a washing machine with Terrence Howard's kids. Hey, Terrence. One thing, though, you got to be careful about. I know we're talking a lot about your future, and you're doing fine creatively. You're doing fine professionally. But again, it's the emotional Terrence Howard that I worry about.
Me too.
Okay, what's wrong with
you? Because we are going to be hanging, as we established earlier in the interview. The kids. You see, I'm a friend of, well, I wouldn't say a friend of, but I know Howie Mandel fairly well.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a germ freak.
Yes, he is.
He is going to freak his kids out because daddy's a germ freak.
Well, no, but I'm not a germ freak because I think, you know, we need the germs in order to break down. You know, half the people are getting sick nowadays because they've lowered their resistance with all of the sanitizers. But I'm saying in just trying to keep yourself clean naturally. You don't need to, you can be a little cleaner on the back end.
I think he only means the nether regions.
Use the wipes, the back nine and not the Purell, front 10.
You don't need all the excess Purell.
Does anybody know the only guest ever banned from Saturday Night Live for life?
Is who, Howie?
Oh, I would say Sinead O'Connor.
It's Martin Lawrence, and do you know why?
Because he's black.
Wrong. Because he did a whole 5-minute bit that was on no cue card about women, you gotta clean your backsides.
Oh, really?
And they kicked him off and they won't let him on again ever.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Terrence, you and Martin Lawrence should go jogging in the San Fernando Valley.
In a silver suit till you pass out pulling guns.
Well, since Adam is worried about your emotional state, what about that you've been recently linked with Naomi Campbell?
Ooh. Nah, Naomi was a good friend of mine. That was just buddy.
Look,
come on,
Terrence. If you're trying to score points by saying you just wanted to hang out with a super hot chick and be friends, you've come to the wrong place.
No, Naomi is really good people, and Quincy introduced us, and
all
I was
assistants
fascinated
say that.
With her.
Mm-hmm.
I was very fascinated with her.
Quincy Jones?
Yes, sir.
Man, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy has some of the most beautiful women around him at all times. It seems. Yeah. And does he ever get old? I mean, wasn't Quincy Jones on the vanguard of whatever 40 years ago?
Quincy Jones was old in 1946.
Yeah, but no, Quincy, I was just with him a couple of days ago. Quincy's still, you know, he's got women that you would like to meet.
Mm, I know. And you could, actually, I'm sort of picturing you and Quincy, and you might be able to, if they ever do the Quincy Jones story, you might make a good young Quincy Jones, even though the old Quincy Jones is evidently the young Quincy Jones.
Right. Yeah, he is. You got to keep Joe Francis away from people, though.
Oh, really?
Joe will get around you and corrupt God himself.
We're talking about the Girls Gone Wild?
Yeah.
That Joe Francis?
Yeah, he asked me to come and do a Girls Gone Wild tour with him. I was like, man, are you trying to get me really strung up?
I think he's doing a Dudes Gone Wild in D-Block now, by the way. Isn't he in the joint? Yeah, Terrence, you got to be careful who you hang out with, too, because you are what they call on the come in Hollywood. I mean, I know it sounds retarded, but that's what they call it.
Yeah, on the come up, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the hottest, youngest actors out there, and you don't want to, you don't want to be caught in any scandals or anything.
Man, I keep my daughter with me. I got my 14-year-old daughter who travels with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not dating, and I'm trying to give some good advice.
So it's just her and daddy in the oxygen chamber that's filled with Purell.
Yes. No Purell.
And a support truck that follows you guys with fresh oxygen.
You're going to have you some baby wipes.
All right. Well, Terrence, it was a pleasure speaking to you. The Hunting Party, starring Richard Gere. Oh, how's Richard Gere?
He's great.
There are times when I think this guy's the most centered man in the world, and then there are times when I think, man, is this guy a blowhard?
No, he's not. I mean, he's still a Buddhist, and he gave me some really good advice about how to be successful and how to maintain your peace of mind.
I need it.
You know, it's like just wipe take time eyes. To
wipe your ass with the moist
smell the flowers, man. Mm-hmm. Smell the flowers.
That's good. So he said, take it slow and smell the flowers.
Yeah, amen.
Enjoy the ride.
Yep.
All right. Well, from your mouth to God's ears. Terrence Howard, everyone. The Hunting Party. Richard Gere. It is coming out September 7th. Hey, Terrence, when you're in L.A., and I assume you are on occasion, come by and see us, please.
Yeah, I will next time I'm up.
We will look forward to that. Terrence Howard, everyone. Oops, was he saying something?
He's a great actor. He says set piece. He's a great actor and very fascinating.
Yes, his physics. He's got a lot of range. He goes right from the ass to the physics.
Exactly.
See, but notice there's all, like, part of it. He's on the Adam Carolla show talking about atoms. He's talking about the nether regions. He's talking about asteroids. And he's, you know what I'm saying? I think he's doing a little comedy and not telling anybody. There's, like, code words in everything he says.
You mean, like, asteroids?
Droids, absolutely.
I got it.
Black holes.
Yep.
Right.
See? It's crap. It's code comedy.
Orion's
I do a lot of that.
Belt.
Tell Danny to move on.
Who's up your ass?
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Hey, speaking of fecal matter, my buddy Ray is in there. Not gray matter, but brown matter. That's his field of expertise, with an emphasis on corn. Ray is coming up next. He has a personal story from the good old days. Reenactments, we call them, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault with Jimmy Kimmel.
Hey, Vault Adventures.
Hi, with whom am I speaking?
Will.
Hi, Will. My name is Terrence, and I work with the Olsen twins from television, and they would like to play some paintball this weekend.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with paintballing. As far as I understand, a group of children gather together and fire on one another?
The age groups for paintball varies greatly. It can be anywhere from, like, 11 all the way up to 40 or 50 years old.
How pathetic. Can you imagine an adult that plays paintball? Okay. So anyway, let's go over a few things for the girls.
Okay.
If you could treat them with special care, we would appreciate it. For instance, no photographs. The girls don't want to pose with people that smell and whatnot.
I'm not going to even mention to anybody that anybody is like that is going to be there.
Perfect. Just treat the girls with the respect they deserve as celebrities. That's all that we're asking.
Now there is one catch to this kind of stuff.
Yes.
They must follow the safety rules of the field.
Yes. Our only rule is that they must be allowed to win.
Must be allowed to win?
At any cost. Because the girls are used to winning. They're winners. And they have tempers. And they sometimes become angry with me. And they'll kick me and whatnot. And I would like to avoid that. So if we could get a group of, I don't know if you have handicap groups or anything like that, that you could bring in for the girls to fire on.
That's almost amusing because paintball is a game of chance.
Yes, paintball is a game of chance, but I want to do everything I can to make sure there's as little chance as possible involved. In fact, if you could, maybe don't load the guns of the other competitors. That way the girls would be the only ones firing and they'd be virtually guaranteed a win. Do you have blanks or something like that you can put in the ball gun?
In the paint gun? I'm going to have to speak to my owner and find out
what
you
should
we can
speak
arrange
to your
here
owner.
Because these requests are
yes, please, I know, they're very
unusual.
Reasonable. Mary-Kate actually just walked in and asked if you could set up some sort of firing squad where they line the children up and then the girls get to just shoot at them.
Sounds almost like somebody has issues to me.
Well, let's not get into that.
Things like that, because, you know, people not like that.
Yes, and a fruit plate also with everything except for the melon. They don't like the green and yellow melon, but anything else, strawberries, watermelon, cherries,
bananas. You do understand we're just a outdoor playing field,
some kind
right?
of fresh, just a very fresh fruit. Will we have to pay or will this be complimentary?
It will not be complimentary.
It will not be
complimentary.
Okay, well, I am not going to mention that to the girls. I'm going to tell the girls that it's all for free, and then I'll pay you on the side, okay?
Okay, we'll
okay,
figure something
so
out, all right?
Make a nice list and run it by your boss, and then get back to me on all this, okay?
Okay.
Very good, Will, and we'll see you with guns a-blazing this weekend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The amazingly versatile Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Jimmy's a good gay.
Speaking of
no,
the
he is.
Best.
And he can do a good impression.
Mm-hmm. You're lucky he's out of town. You didn't hear that, douche man.
Why? You'd train me and I'd box him.
Hey, that's right.
Hey, you know what, Danny? I'll box you with one hand if you'd like.
All right, shut up.
Wait a minute. How much?
Anything you got. No
one
problem.
One hand, swear to God?
One hand.
10,000.
Here's no problem.
Here's the problem.
Ace, give me 10 grand.
Ray doesn't have any money.
And he only has one arm.
That's the problem.
Are you really willing to fight Danny with one arm?
Well, I challenged Dave, your predecessor, to one-on-one basketball, and I'd use one arm, and he wouldn't do it, so I figured you
That's
wouldn't
why
do
he's
it
the
either.
Predecessor, dude, and I'm sitting in this chair.
I get my one arm tied here.
Right. By my so you can jam?
Right. No, yeah, so I can jam one hand, right hand.
I'll kill you.
Power Thor, Danny.
I'll kill
Adam,
you,
what's going to happen here if they do this?
Danny will lose.
I don't, Ray doesn't have any money. Two hands, probably a good thing to have in the ring. I was thinking, though, if you got to keep your hand up by your face the whole time, there's a lot of fighters that just sort of throw their cross. Well, that's how Danny fights. Hey. So Danny, in a way, fights with one hand, although he could use his left hand, and throws his left hand.
Was undefeated.
Now, Ray, are you just trying to make a couple bucks here, or do you have a beef?
We'll be best friends right after somebody scrapes his ass up off the floor. We'll go drink him. I love Ray.
Listen, no beef. I just need to make some money.
How about at the Playboy Mansion in October?
Dude, something like
whatever
that
you
I think
want
is a great idea.
All right.
We're on like Donkey Kong.
Come on.
Down, Danny.
I like you both, though. I don't like to see
No, that's cool.
Punched.
I've seen brothers. I've seen brothers who love each other get in the ring and do their job, and somebody gets scraped up off the floor and somebody doesn't, and then we'll go out drinking.
I'm not particularly fond of my brothers.
Now that I'm not attached anymore, we'll go out, we'll clean up all your scars, and we'll get some chicks.
Danny, when he says brothers, he means black guys. He doesn't mean actual siblings.
Danny, you're dreaming people. From the waist.
All right, listen, Ray. You better start training the second we're done
Hold
with this.
Hold on, let me get a cigarette.
Ray,
Ooh, a battle of the smokers.
Battle of the black lung.
This will be sponsored by Marlboro.
2 minute rounds.
That's Two minute rounds for sure.
One, maybe one. hey, Ray.
Yeah.
What? Oh, we got a little, a little intro. That's right.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, kids. It's time for a story with Uncle Adam's friend, Ray.
This show's not for kids.
It's a Ray enactment.
Well, every time Wednesday rolls around, Ray comes by to tell a story, we stand in the hall and try to figure out which ones to tell. We passed on us going to see the Plasmatics at Perkins Palace and them blawing up a car and them hacksawing a guitar in half and Ray getting in a fight to grab the other half of the guitar.
I got
Actually,
the guitar.
Yeah, a guy grabbed half your half of the guitar, and Ray and the guy were both removed from the concert, from the pit. by the way, because Ray wouldn't let go of his half of the half a guitar. It wasn't a whole guitar. They took a chainsaw, cut it in half, and threw it in the audience, and Ray grabbed what would have been a quarter of the guitar, right?
Yeah, about.
Then some other guy who was as big as a big a-hole as you grabbed the other quarter of the half guitar. This is a half a guitar. It's worth nothing.
Says you.
And then Ray and both guys
Williams
got dragged out into the lobby. We also could have told the story about Ray trying to break into Universal Amphitheater and getting choked by a security guard until you're unconscious, right?
Yeah, chokehold three times. It wasn't not a good time for me.
But Ray, that's why you got to buy tickets. But we decided to.
At the Adam and the Ant show.
You were breaking in. You
well,
couldn't
I got
get tickets
in.
To Adam and
Dude,
Ant.
No, we Adam were in. I wanted to get front row, and I was front row. And then I went to go get my girlfriend at the time, and then I got caught. Mm-hmm. And you run out of real estate at the Greek. I mean, you run into a wall. Then they surround
you. Was that the show where he dove into the water?
Last time
I saw Adam Ant, he had giant tanks of water, like big aquariums that they didn't do anything with, except his encore, he started diving from way up high scaffolding into fish tanks and swimming around on stage.
Really? Are you sure you weren't high?
Yeah. I'm positive I was high, but still, I'm pretty sure that guy was swimming.
Music.
Well, Ray got thrown out of that one. Ray also, we also discussed the time we got in a fight with a guy in the
parking lot.
Sherman Oaks Galleria parking lot. A hoodlum. Probably one of Dooch Man's friends.
From the tough part of Encino.
Yeah, This guy was some kind of punk rocker, had been terrorizing everybody in the parking lot. It's all I remember. I remember we were leaving the movie theater and we ran into this punk rock guy.
But you got the heads up. Hey, don't walk that way.
Yeah, there's a scary guy. There's a scary punk rock guy who's terrorizing people. Yes, go ahead.
The second somebody said, don't go that way, there's a scary guy. That's exactly the way Ray went.
Yeah, well, we all went that way. And the guy pulled out a chain. Like it was Brando from the 50s, but it had two big steel rods on the end of it. It wasn't nunchucks. It was this weird chain. It was about 2 foot long and had two solid steel rods. I know it because we confiscated it from him later. And he started swinging around over his head, and he's like, you want some? And there's this thing that was solid steel rod. There's like, whoosh, whoosh. And I was like, wow. So, Ray, just so people don't think I'm lying, what did I do?
What'd you do? You took off your knockoff members-only jacket.
Yeah.
Put it overhead, started swinging, timed it, threw it at the chain.
Yeah.
Thing stopped. Wow. Asa, what'd he do? Jump on the guy.
Yeah, except for our buddy Snake, who comes up from time to time, actually charged him at the same time I threw my jacket on him. And then we threw him on the hood of a car, and we beat the crap out of him and took away his chain. But the thing that was funny is when we got home, I said, Todd, how'd you avoid getting hit by that chain? Because he was waving it around, and you flew past me, and I threw my jacket. But it seemed like you would have got killed by that chain. And he said, well, it may have hit me. And then he pulled his shirt up, and he had chain links all the way down his back. Todd wasn't a complainer, evidently, because he didn't say a word about it all the way home. If I had been hit by that chain, I would still be talking about it today. Todd, not a word out of Todd until I asked him about
it. Todd got stabbed on Laurel Canyon, didn't even know.
What?
Todd was a Jew, too, by the way.
Super Jew, though.
I was going to say, the scariest thing I've done in a mall parking lot is not write down the space where I parked, so I could potentially lose my car.
Jew ass.
That's what I do as a stunt on Jew ass.
But Ray and I decided to talk about our days cleaning carpets, because that's where the glory really was. $7 an hour. Maybe it was $6.50 an hour. But you didn't get driving time. It was only when you were cleaning. Ray and I had a few memorable stories, like us going to the Hamburger Hamlet in Culver City, cleaning that carpet.
Good times.
It was a good gig because the manager gave you the keys and then left. and you worked from 11 o'clock, whenever the restaurant closed, until 3 a.m. Well, Ray immediately jumped over the counter and said, I'm firing up the grill. What do you want? And Ray went right into the kitchen of the Hamburger Hamlet on Sepulveda, and he fired that grill up, and he opened every drawer in the place until he found some hamburger patties.
We ate like kings.
And Ray was making triple deckers. Then he fired up the... I will tell you, there's nothing more satisfying than working... Two things. Sliding the case open that has the chocolate cake in it that's already cut and taking it yourself. They should let you do that.
Yeah.
It's cool to go, give me the double German chocolate cake and to have the lady slide the glass thing open and give you the one. But if she would let me go get it myself, I'd give her extra $10. I really would. And then the other thing that's cool is the bottomless milk dispenser
that has the cooler.
Big counterweight ball on it. I don't know why you need the 60-pound chrome ball on the other end.
We stick our mugs under it.
We were like kittens.
It was great. It was good times.
My favorite carpet cleaning story, Adam, and I don't know if, Ray, you clean the carpet, but when you clean the fancy hotel, I think it was the Beverly Wilshire, where you then returned... As a guest of the hotel.
Like a conquering hero.
And
yes.
Walked across the carpet you had once cleaned.
What kind of flashback was that?
Oh, we used to clean the Grand Trinon.
El Padrino
and the Pink Turtle. Those were all the places inside the Beverly Hilton.
Right.
Or it was the Beverly Wilshire, I think.
It's a very fancy hotel.
It was cool when...
Fernando Cartwright's.
Some years later... I went back to Cut, Wolfgang Puck's restaurant, and sat there in Wolfgang Puck's restaurant, Cut, which is
the best
piece of meat you're going
to
get in town.
I'm mistaken, and I've yet to go there. I got to go.
You got to go. That place is exactly where the Pink Turtle used to be, the place that our boss, Art, used to yell at us not to eat any of the pastries, and you missed a spot on the carpet. That was the spot where it was, so it was great
sitting
there. And
Art would walk around in his bunny slippers and eat out of the bus tray.
Good name for TV, by the way, the Pink Turtle.
Well, it lives a long time.
Well, don't worry. And it can go into its shell for long periods of time. Ray got even with Art. Now, Art was our boss. Art used to kind of rip us off. Art ran the business out of his apartment. Art didn't pay us for driving or anything like that, so we'd go work for 4 hours and we get paid $20, and that would be
Wait a minute, we'd work like 18 hours for the week, and he'd give us whatever, $6.50 an hour, and then at the end of the week we would buy illicit drugs from him, and we wind up owing him money.
Right,
that's how bad it was.
And somewhere in that week, you parked the van. Which was an old custom van from the 70s.
A Lovetron.
Said Radical Rich on the side with the Blaupunk stereo and the captain's chairs, except for it was way past its prime and it was broken down, but it still had the Krager mags and stuff on it.
It was great.
And we'd be driving that baby around circa 1985.
With the bubble window.
The bubble window in it. Well, once in a while, you'd park the van on the wrong side of the street.
And
the street cleaner would come, and Art would take the $35 ticket out of the $60 you'd earn for working 21 hours that week.
Three out of 4 weeks, you'd wind up owing him money.
Yeah.
It was you were indentured servant. You really were. Well, he had it going on.
The good news is, first bad news. One of the employees, as I talked about, Everlast, and I think he was Everlast.
Everlast and McGee.
Right. He was the guy. He was the fellow of color I drove to the Edwards Air Force Base to clean 70. Must have been like 700 acres of carpet.
All the barracks.
Different Everlast. That. But the point is, I don't know if he's still in jail, but he murdered a guy just week, maybe 2 weeks after we were working together.
Why did he kill him?
It was unclear, but it was a very chilling message on Art's message machine from Everlast in jail saying, you got to bail me out. Art thought it was hysterical, so he would play it for everyone in the crew. And Art,
you got to hear this.
Art was the guy who would charge you the $35 for the ticket, and Art was the guy who wouldn't pay you driving time. So I'm guessing Art wasn't going to pony up the $100,000 to get Everlast out of jail, a guy he's known for 2 weeks.
No, but he asked us for the money.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's want to contribute your check? Sure.
Everlast is probably still in jail. Yeah. He just murdered somebody in front of God and everybody. Something about a bar, something about a gay bar, and something about him walking in and shooting somebody. Just
something
right
about
in
him
the face.
Being hit on.
Yeah.
He really
offense.
Worked with a bunch of charmers.
He was one of the good ones. We drove all the way out to Edwards Air Force Base while he was smoking reefer going 110 miles an hour in the Radical Rich van and explaining to me he had no license. He was from New York.
Good. Well, when Chris had the van, the axle fell off.
Yeah. Good times. The good news is Ray took Art out for a little night of celebration after we all quit. And ended up beating him with a shoe.
Huh. He was so drunk, he was passed out.
Throwing his entire key ring on the roof of a commercial building, which he could not retrieve it from.
He deserved
everything.
You
beat a man with his own shoe?
Absolutely. And would do it again.
Well, I beat him with one of his own.
In fact, it's going to happen to you, Danny.
All right.
With one.
At the Playboy Mansion.
Well, you know what? I was actually making notes during that because I think it's a great idea. First, I went live at the Playboy Mansion. Mm-hmm. Then I went, wait a second. 17th? How about Cinco de Mayo when we're at a bar? And then how about brought to you by the king of beers, Bud, and that way Ray and I make some real money because Ray's not playing, so somebody's going to get hurt. We should get paid.
I completely agree.
Only reason for me doing it.
We'll get a sponsor. Okay, we'll get Ray some money. Ray, you and Danny, go out in the parking lot, blow a butt. You guys can enjoy smoke and start strategizing over your big fight.
Yay.
And, is that fair?
We'll make some money. Why not? We'll do it.
We'll do it for sure.
Do we have an outro, by the way?
Okay, kids.
This show's not for kids.
Until next time.
I like it anyway.
That's a Ray enactment.
Ralphie May, who I saw just last night on Comedy Central. I think they just played his stand-up special.
Girth of a Nation.
Girth of a Nation, last night on Comedy Central. I saw that. We'll bring in comedian Ralphie May next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I like the hood. It's just different, you know? Stuff happens and it doesn't happen anywhere else, okay? Like, we don't have a Jack in the Box restaurant, y'all. We got a Jizzack up in the Biox. That's all we got. And you got to order like you're from the hood or the drive-thru guy will shoot you out of respect. It's like, yo, what a player. Yo, man, can you give me a jumbo Jizzack? And he's testing me, right? He goes, oh, with cheese? Hell yeah, hell yeah. He was like, word.
Comedian Ralphie May is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, speak of the devil. I was just watching Ralphie and his Girth of a Nation special on Comedy Central last night. Good to see you, Ralphie.
It's great to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
I know quite a few things about Ralphie. We go way back. But something I didn't know, I'm reading on a card here. It says you broke 42 bones and you were left in a coma for 10 days after getting into a car accident at age 16.
Yeah, I got hit by a drunk driver.
Rolled
down a hill. Yeah.
What was the story? How'd it go?
It was actually his fourth DUI, and he was out on parole for number three for about 5 days.
And this is
he was
back
coming home
in,
from a welcome party.
Is this in Tennessee? Where is this?
Arkansas. That's where I was raised.
So four DUIs considered a rookie.
Yeah, that's just
Arkansas.
Getting started. That's a healthy beginning.
Yeah, you're not even a double digit, son. It's good moving. Hell, you're 14 and a half. Let's focus.
Come on, get it together. Yeah, I got hit and I rolled down a hill and flipping the car.
Like, you were driving.
And wrapped a,
you were driving what?
84 Chevrolet truck, blue on blue.
Mm-hmm. And you got T-boned by the drunk driver?
I got clipped and I was going like 45 and I just went down this hill and just started flipping. And rolling.
And you broke 42 bones?
Yeah. Yeah. I got broke all over, man. I got 64 separate breaks and 42 bones, but like my clavicle, I blew up. It's still messed up. And that's when I started to gain a bunch of weight. And it's weird. The only bone group that wasn't upset was my right arm, my forehand.
Yeah,
you know, my forehand was just fine. You know? And I'm from the South, so all they do when you're sick is feed you. And and so they just kept on shoveling. I kept on eating. I was in a wheelchair for 10 months trying to let the spinal swelling go down.
Wow. Well, yeah. It is true that when you get injured, everyone brings you baskets of muffins and cookies and all that. And obviously, you're not going to burn anything off because you're in a wheelchair or in a hospital bed. So you just sit there and eat crappy, fatty food.
Just shoveling it in.
For a year. And then when you can't walk because you put on 100 pounds. So you were not overweight at that point or before?
I was like 235, but I could bench press 375.
Wow.
I was an all-region football player.
What position?
Defensive end. Mm-hmm. But depending on the scheme, I was go from a defensive end to a defensive tackle or a linebacker if we were in a three set.
So you're a football player, you're benching the weight, you're heavy, but you're lifting the weight.
Yeah. You're at that weight and you're benching over your body weight?
Yeah,
you're a strong
at 16?
Man.
Yeah. I was country strong. It's from Holland Hay.
Country strong. I never hear that expression anymore.
You know, all these guys like, Danny, you're ripped. I was never ripped like that.
He's
was just
gym
a big
strong.
Dude. Yeah, he's gym strong. He works out. He's almost gay strong. That's how strong he is. He's in shape.
Nah, I'm a pharmacy dude.
Steroids.
Steroids. Oh, yeah. All right, man. Good for you. Who's the fight, brother.
Who wants to put in all
don't
that
don't call into that good night, man.
Country strong. I'm trying to think.
Mice and Men was country strong.
I'm sort of Valley weak and Teresa. Well, if you got rid of the strong in the end of the... Well, I don't want to do the math, but the point is...
Words hurt.
Sorry, baby doll. Just making it funny. It hurt.
You know what? You can be funny. Without making fun.
That's right. what we've learned from David Schwimmer. That's right. So now you're 16. You get in a horrific car accident. Uh-huh. You're not going to be able to play your senior year.
I'm not going to be able to do anything like that anymore.
You're not going to be able to play football anymore.
No, never.
You're sitting around. You're in Arkansas. You're packing on the weight. Mm-hmm. And now what? You're 17. You're rehabilitating.
Yeah,
where do you go?
Well, there wasn't a lot of physical therapy. There wasn't a lot of people helping me. You know, they really didn't have a lot of physical therapy, you know, in 88. It was more like...
Well, they did in Los Angeles and New York in 88.
The medical field was...
In Arkansas,
okay,
it was 1958.
Arkansas, get up.
Right.
Get up. You can walk. Go. Now you're done.
Right.
It was hard, man. You know, it was a real ass-busted experience, you know, to getting back to where you could normally do stuff. But I'd always wanted to be a stand-up. First time I started, I was 13, and I did it at a church camp, and it was pretty good. I made out and got some... I don't know. What do you call it? Third base? Is that the technical term that we can still say?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying. And with a girl from Prattville, Alabama. So I did pretty good, you know?
In camp with the comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So
now football, the dream of football's over. Uh-huh. It's time to focus on comedy.
Mm-hmm.
When do you do your first stand-up gig?
First time I got paid, I was 17.
Oh, so it was right.
Sam Kinison.
Mm-hmm. Right then.
Yeah. And I worked with Sam Kinison, but it wasn't a good experience. It was great to meet with Sam.
How did you hook up with Sam Kinison at 13? I mean, at 17 in Arkansas.
He was playing the University of Arkansas, and the local radio station K-Hawk was having a talent show contest because comedy was hot. I mean, they were doing comedy in the late 80s and bowling alleys and stuff.
Right.
And it was, hey, if you want to, you can, if you enter and win, you can open for Sam Kinison. And I won. I
at
17? At
17. Still incredibly young for stand-up.
Do you remember anything from your act at 17?
I remember my closer, which was I went to a Def Leppard concert, and I felt bad about clapping about the drummer. You know, it's like, hey, look at my use of two hands. Yay! Look at this. These guys rock. Look at me clapping with two hands. All right, that was my closer.
That's good.
It was funny because Sam was like, kid, are you nervous? And I'm like, no, I'm not nervous because we were riding over together. And he was like,
so,
kid, there's going to be 3,500
people. So you
hook
up with Sam Kinison.
The rock star of all comedy.
One of the legendary comedians, and you're... Barely. I mean, you're not even 18.
No. And I should not have been down there at all. I've never been drunk before, and I'm rolling with Sam Kinison.
Right.
It's not
and
good.
All of a sudden, you're going to step out in front of Sam Kinison fans.
Yeah, 3,500 of them. And he goes, kid, if you have a closer, and I did, but I didn't know it was called a closer. I go, no. He goes, kid, if you're nervous, use one of my old closers. It's a thing to make your show really pop at the end. Just start yelling at the crowd and cussing them out. The more you cuss them, the more they'll love it. Really? Yeah. So I'm about I'm supposed to do 7 minutes. I'm about 4 or 5 minutes in, and I'm doing way better than I should have been doing.
Right.
And then I flip a punchline and a setup, and a joke bombs. And then I do another joke, and that joke bombs. And I figured I'm at the end. So I'm like, hey, you stupid inbred Ned Beatty pig banging, you bang your mother's, blah, blah, blah. Right. Every curse word, everything I could say is humiliating.
Same bitch you did at church camp.
Yeah, No. 3,500 people in unison start to boo me. Boo. I'm 17. I start to cry a little bit on stage. I leave stage. Sam, without being introduced, no rock music, no fanfare, no big introduction, comes out going, can you believe that kid coming out here and talking to you good people like that again? He will never be in comedy again. So now I'm crying like a little bitch. All right? I'm over to the stage. He totally set me up. I'm calling my mom, Collect, on the payphone to come pick me up. And Bill Kinnison, Sam's brother, comes over and hangs the phone and goes, Sam thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. He never thought you'd have the guts to do it. You made him laugh his ass off. He wants to invite you to the after party. So we go to the after party at the penthouse of this local hotel, and there's all these B celebrities over there, you know, and from the area, all regions. Right. And Sam comes out of a room, and there's like, it's like drugs everywhere. There's like big, you know, 8-inch rails.
Sure.
Okay, it was everywhere. Just, I mean,
and, it's the 80s. It's Kinnison. It's drugs.
It's a big blow, and he goes.
By the way, just quickly, for those of you who are just tuning in, David Cross is in the studio. He's explaining how he got into comedy. No, Ralphie May.
I'm sorry.
Ralphie May in studio is going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow night. So, Ralphie, so you're backstage, or you're at the party.
At the party.
At the after party.
Yeah.
Kinnison's there. He's in full effect. He's
full
breaking
effect.
Out the nose candy. You're 17.
I'm drinking a beer and pouring half of it out.
Right.
That's what I'm doing. I'm drinking. And there's like, I saw naked women. It was awesome. And he goes, kid, are you hungry? And, you know, everybody's hungry. Get some food. Which is kind of weird for cokeheads to order food. But anyway.
Plus, you don't ask fat guys if they're hungry. The
answer
is yes.
Right. Of course. Yeah. So I order from Shakey's Pizza. Boom. They come up to the spot. And Sam pays for the pizza and tips the guy 3 little baggies of cocaine.
Wow.
30 minutes later, we get a phone call. Hey, you guys need more pizza? No problem. We'll bring it right up. I know we're close, but we'll bring you some more pizza if you need some.
Wow.
So that was my Sam Kinnison story. He wrote me out a letter introduction, told me to go to Houston.
And
so that's what I did.
That's how the comedy starts off.
That's how it started up.
Wow. It's like most, you know, when you said that you got in this horrific car accident, and then Kinnison got into a horrific car accident, obviously, some years later, although not that much later, probably about 5 years after that. I thought you were going to say that you'd gotten into an accident at 16, were confined to a wheelchair, packed on a bunch of weight, got depressed. Eventually, your mom told you had to get out of the house. And somewhere 5-8 years later, you started doing stand-up. I didn't know you started doing it from the wheelchair in your mom's living room when you were 17.
I was writing stuff then because I didn't have anything else to do. You know, I didn't have much else to do. School was a pain in the ass. You know, they're not handicap equipped. And
so that was it for you. Then you never had a civilian job. After that point,
I did to make bills. I taught defensive driving, the comedy style defensive driving in Texas.
I did that.
You did that.
Okay, I did. I cooked at NOLA's in New Orleans and cooked at the Four Seasons. My buddy, who was a comic, was a resident manager of the Four Seasons. Mm. He said I told him I could cook. He told me to come up and cook. I did. He called a chef up. The guy hired me on the spot 6 months later after working there.
What's your dish? What do you do?
I specialize Gulf Coast cuisine. You know, whatever, like a lot of New Orleans flair. But like you were in New Orleans. That's where we hung out a lot at Super Bowl.
We're with Ralphie. We were with Ralphie at the Super Bowl with Jeff Ross and our old friend Dave Damashek, who got violently ill. Here's the thing about getting violently ill when you're on the road. If you're with your wife and your kids, it's okay. If you're with Cousin Sal and Jimmy, it just becomes abusive.
Yeah.
Because while you're throwing up, they're videotaping you and kicking you in the ass while you're bent over the toilet.
It
becomes very funny when you pass out because you have 103 temperature and they duct tape you to a piece of furniture. It is. Couldn't be worse. But yes, New Orleans with Jeff and Ralphie May and Jimmy and Cousin Sal. What a weekend.
That was fun.
That was good times. Ralphie is going to be, again, at the Brea Improv tomorrow, Thursday through Sunday. Guessing you got two shows on Saturday, Friday,
Two shows
Saturday?
On Saturday, three on Saturday, 7, 9, and 11, and one on Sunday.
You can go to improv.com for tickets or go to RalphieMay.com for tickets. Ralphie, always a good time.
Thank you, man.
I'm glad to learn this about you. I had all the time we were stoned in New Orleans, I never knew you'd been in a coma for 10 days. We were actually in a coma for 4 days in New Orleans.
We
should tack that on to your coma tally.
I should.
Make it 14 days because you're like, I got 10 days from when I got hit by a car in Arkansas, and then I got 4 days when I smoked reefer with Jeff Ross and Corolla for 4 days in New Orleans.
Both were drug-induced.
That's right.
Both were drug-induced. It was awesome. Hey, I got to tell you this. My concert promoter, I'm doing a series of concerts in Central California. They told me that you're huge in Fresno. I'm playing Fresno. November 3rd at the Tower Theater. I know it's early, but tickets are on sale right now. Everybody in Fresno, buy your tickets. I'll make you laugh hard. Got the number one special on Comedy Central. I got another one coming out in October. And first time one stand-up has produced 2 one-hour specials in less than a year.
Well, nice. Fresno, prolific. Fresno, November
3rd.
November 3rd. All right, Fresno.
Tower
yes,
Theater.
We're huge in Fresno. Ralphie's huge wherever he is. He's Ralphie May.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. Be back to do some news. Quick tease.
Don Imus is back in the news and a very surprising story about Hooters.
Good times. Next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
I love driving through trees. Like this one, located on the Avenue of the Giants up in Humboldt County in Northern California. It was a tight fit, but it was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Must be talking about that giant sequoia that you get to drive through. Such a novelty.
Inside the glory hole.
You know what it is, though? I love that.
Yeah.
Driving through that giant tree. It's redwood, isn't it?
It's probably a redwood. I don't know if it's probably a sequoia, which is maybe a type of redwood. Oh, someone's going to have to figure that out.
I don't care. I no longer argue with you.
Type of redwood tree or
I'll
sequoia.
I'll fight man with one hand, but I'm not fighting you with one. Have your brain tied by
me. I don't even know that I have a whole brain. I really don't. Someone will tell us, though.
You know what? You know
Brian, look up sequoia, giant redwood or sequoia. Is sequoia a different name for giant redwood or sequoia a totally different breed of tree?
It's funny that it's TV, though, but I used to describe how your brain works because people ask me. It's funny because most people, when I work with them, people are asked, what's it like to work with Bonaducci? Is he crazy? Oh, man. But with Carolla, people ask about you all the time. Want to know if you're really that smart and all that stuff? So I used to use the Partridge Family story you told where you knew way more about it than I did and I was in it and you hadn't seen it in 30 years.
It's mainly pathetic, though.
Oh, no. It's so sad. I'm sad for you.
Thank you.
But I am also bragging about my friend that can do all this stuff. But you know what I use now? The opening to the $6 million man, knowing the pilot's name, the what kind of jet he was in, is like that. That's just weird, man. You shouldn't be able to do that. There's something wrong with that.
I don't absorb any information if I read it, but if it is played to me or shown to me,
I
absorb it. Yeah.
I don't say that you don't absorb it if you read it. I say he claims not to read. But if you say it or he sees it, he knows it forever.
Never been to one of those places where they hide the books, T.
Yes, the library.
That's right.
You're putting that R in.
Answer.
Yes, apparently a sequoia is a kind of redwood, a much larger kind of.
So a giant redwood is a sequoia tree.
The taller, I didn't fight. So I'm thinking
the taller and more slender California coast redwood, which is a sequoia semper. So the Latin name is sequoia something. So am I deducing that redwood is a type of sequoia?
Right, so those are sequoia trees or redwood trees or whatever that you drive through. All right, T, sorry for boring you. Let's do the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
T's like, are these sequoias going to finish talking about the effing sequoias? Getting old over here.
I'm sorry, it's taking me a while to get back from my happy place. I'm back now. You know who's not in a happy place? Michael Vick, Falcons QB, will most likely join his three co-defendants and agree to plead guilty this week to charges on the dog fighting case. Mm. Now, this according to some sources who are close. He's not made a final decision. He's still looking into his options. He's consulting with his attorneys today. And one of the things he's trying to find out is how this will affect his future with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He does not know. Mm. Seems clear. In any case, he will be doing some jail time.
Well, he can always fall back on that degree. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. He had no education, even though he was in college, because that's what we do with our athletes. I saw a whole thing on that on Inside Sports last night, and it's one of these things that's hard to watch. I mean, when they really do the, you know, bootleg footage of the dog fights, and they show the kennels, and they show the filth, and they show the guys. Super, super. And a lot of people think this is a brother's job because Mike's a brother and he hung out with his brothers and they spelled dogs with a Z.
It's mostly
and a lot of serious white trash out there. And you don't realize how much of that deliverance crap is still going on.
Yeah.
Serious, I'm talking Ralphie May, white trash, crazy white trash out there. And they're showing films of these dogs killing each other, and then they kill the dogs, and they torture the dogs, and so on and so forth. And people go, well, what do we care? It's dogs. And the reason we react so viscerally, if I didn't butcher that up too much, to this is it's an indicator. If you can do this to a dog, you're a horrible person. You don't just hate dogs. You don't just not have a conscience when it comes to dogs.
Yeah.
You don't have a conscience. You're a bad person. That's what freaks us out, and that's why we want these guys stopped, because if you can get pleasure from watching dogs do this to each other, you wouldn't think twice about putting a bullet in a guy's head.
No, and that's what they say. You always start torturing animals.
Right. All the good serial killers start off doing animals, and then they move on to hookers
at
some point.
And by the way, all the good serial killers, white.
Mm-hmm.
Between 26 and 37.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. Danny's right. Danny told me blacks were too lazy to be serial killers.
I did hear him
during
say
the commercial
that.
Break. Oh, yeah,
yeah, I was offended, but I didn't want to say anything. Well, the feds are expected to issue a new indictment next week, leveling additional charges.
He said there'd be more black serial killers if the prostitutes came to that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if they got to get up and get out of the house, kicking off the slippers. To go kill prostitutes.
There's no racial bigotry.
That wasn't me talking. That was Dan.
Nothing of the
well,
sort.
Well, as you well know, the NFL is barring Michael Vick.
The Mexicans are too lazy to kill anyone. That's what I said.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Feel better now, you bastard.
Imus? Speaking of racists.
Imus.
Are we on to Imus?
Why not?
Oh, why? Oh,
Don
we're done
Imus.
We're done with Vic?
Well, there was more, but it's not important. We get the idea.
He's screwed.
He's
I mean, he's screwed
man.
10 ways to Sunday. You have the court of... the land and then the court of popular whatever, and he's screwed badly in both of them.
Yes, I saw Bill Maher last night on Larry King Live, and he made an interesting point, which is that the hate for Michael Vick rivals and perhaps exceeds that for O.J. Simpson, who actually murdered two human beings.
We are so freaked out about our pets and in the society, and I'm guessing there's a lot of symbolism involved with them because there has to be transference. There are millions of dogs. We euthanize them every day.
Yeah.
They come and they go. They're dogs, everyone. Why are we crying? Why are we putting so much into them? Why are the celebrities carrying them around like they're children when in fact they're just little beasts? There's something more to them. There's a symbolic nature of them. They represent the innocent.
Right.
They represent kids in a certain way. Yeah. It's like they would die without us. Yeah. It's up to us to make laws, to protect, to take care of them, to euthanize them when it's time, when they get sick. You know what I mean? You want to talk about sort of playing God. Well, that's what you do with dogs. And this guy has crapped on one of our children.
By the way, how was Molly's dentist appointment?
Oh, my God. Oh, she had the little Band-Aid on her paw.
No! Really?
She was out of it. It's funny to see when your dog is stoned, just flopped out,
no.
Eyes rolled back. I got her up this morning. I said, honey, child, we're going down. We're going to go down to the kitchen. I'm going to get you some Vittles. And she was like, all right. She got out of bed, and then she flopped out on the carpet.
She couldn't make it.
Never.
Too high.
Never. But actually, about 10 minutes later, she heard her little pitter patter pause on the hardwood floor. Move on.
Hold it together.
Well, just quickly here, Don Imus has reached a settlement with CBS. As you recall, they fired him for his comments about the Rutgers women's basketball team. No telling how much that settlement is. Reports from $10 million to $20 million. Meanwhile, WFAN has hired Boomer Esiason in Imus's old spot.
Mm.
And as I said, I saw Bill Maher on Larry King Live last night, and he commented on the Don Imus situation. Here is what he had to say.
Well, I thought it was overblown to begin with, so I'm not surprised. You know, America has a way of just going crazy, out of control, buck wild, bat nuts about everything. We are such a nation of 10-year-old girls. No matter what happens, we go, no, it can't happen. We got to get rid of that guy. He made me uncomfortable for 2 seconds. Of course, what he said was wrong, yada, yada. Let it go.
Hmm. Bill wishes we're all 10-year-old girls. God damn right about that, Bill.
Yeah, he wishes we were 10-year-old girls, but with the body of an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Right.
If we're all a nation of 10-year-old girls, that would mean, about this time, 2 years from now, harvesting time.
I don't know if he likes them young, but he does like them.
Oh, we all like them young. That's the
that's the
confusing part.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't want to dig myself into too deep a hole here.
When did that start?
When you see the pedophile and he's being interviewed and he's like, I like young girls, and everyone's like, oh, please, you make me want to vomit. Well, as we spoke about yesterday, it's like Don Johnson meets Melanie Griffin. She's Griffith or whatever her last name is. She's 14.
Yeah.
Elvis meets Priscilla. My God, she's 13 or 14 or whatever. You don't think guys like the young ladies? Now, I know this guy's talking about 8-year-olds, so it makes us want to vomit, but 18 is when you become a woman. You don't think there's a lot of guys throughout history that have taken a look? You don't think Priscilla Presley looked hot at 14?
She did.
Do you think
she was gorgeous?
Yeah. You think Melanie Griffith was 10 miles of bad road on when she was 13 or 14? Hell no.
I know I'd crawl
Hillary
10
Duff.
Miles of bad road. For
yeah,
some.
That Hillary Duff was a pig. You ever see her at 15? You wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. No, that is our... The deal is beauty in youth, everybody. Yeah. We're talking about youth. You want to know something that's very sad? Most guys, most every guy I know, Danny, you be honest. Brian, if you have a friend who's a guy, you can get him to call in. Right. Join us during this segment, please. For a one-night stand...
I'm out.
Would take now. Remove the name from this, and it'll become clear when I state it in a second. But forget about the name part of this whole thing. Would take a hot 19-year-old hostess over at the TGI Fridays in Reseda over a 55-year-old Lauren Hutton. Now, remove the name so you don't get to tell your buddies I nailed Lauren Hutton.
Right.
Just one of these most beautiful women on the planet sort of thing, except for she's 53 now. They're all going to take the 6 and a half who's 19 who works over at the TGI Fridays. That's how much we are into young chicks.
Yeah, it's hardwired. They're more fertile, more likely to carry your offspring to term.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Except for I'm pulling out.
Right.
Speaking of pulling out, more news after the break.
Yeah. We'll take ourselves a break. T will be back with more news. So sad. Quick break. Be back after this.
Me, 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 me. 1, 2, 3, 4. La, 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 I'm Patton Oswalt, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good people. Is my mic on? Oh, yeah, headphones were down. There we go. Hey, T.
Yep.
The rest of the news, what's in it?
Dennis Leary stars in the show Rescue Me on FX.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my stories. I don't know if you guys watch. I don't think you do.
Yeah, no, it's a great show.
Oh, one of your stories.
One of your stories.
Oh, one of your news stories.
One of
your
programs.
Stories.
Yeah.
I got my daytime stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rescue Me is my favorite news story.
Yeah, I hear it's a good show.
Yeah, I never watched it before, but now I'm into it. He was on Jon Stewart. Now, would it ever strike you that these two are the same age? Dennis Leary and Jon Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His silver hair is way premature, that's all.
They both look incredibly good, but...
Well, who's supposed to be? Who do you think is older?
Jon Stewart looks very young to me, maybe because he's smaller?
Oh, he's boyish. Yeah,
he's boyish?
Danny flopped it the other
I
way.
The other way because of the gray hair.
Dennis Leary is very good looking and very fit.
Yeah,
he... But rode hard and put away weight.
He seems like Dennis has been on the scene for a long time. They've both been around for a while.
Yeah, they have. Well,
all right. I would think, if you were to ask me, I'd say, oh, Dennis is 3 years older. I wouldn't assume they were exactly the same
but
age.
Close.
But they are. Okay.
Well, Dennis Leary went on The Daily Show, Jon Stewart's show, and they talked about the fact that they are both either now 50 or about to turn 50.
That's another thing that I've noticed as I've gotten older, John, because I'm very old, is that, you know, you get to a certain age, you have to have the prostate checked, and almost everybody that checks the prostate, Jewish. So you have to be nice to your Jewish friends because they might be your prostate doctor one day. Well, I'm just saying.
That is so weird.
Can you check
Can I tell you what's weird about that? My grandmother had that embroidered on a pillow in her house.
Be nice to your Jewish friends.
Yeah. I'm always nice to my Jewish friends.
Well, they went on to talk about...
Hold on.
Yeah.
I don't have any Jewish friends.
Hold on. I'm right here.
You're a Jew? Oh, my God. I've said horrible things about your people this whole time, and it turns out you're one of them?
I've been sucking it up.
Where's the horns? Where's the stripes? You're one of those North American ones?
I'm one of the North American.
You're one of the domesticated ones, aren't you?
I'm not
That's
one of
why.
Yes. Not the Israeli.
You've been declawed and dechewed.
Right. We're not as nasty as...
But hold on, T.
Yeah.
You're never trying to get my wallet out of my pants or suing me or anything.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? I never loan you money at usurious rates.
Yes. What is it? You're
not
wearing that half a baseball hat and talking about the
yarmulke.
There you go.
I'm not like the others.
Read about that in the place they hide the books.
The library.
There you go. Now you're not like the Jews.
I'm not.
Mm-mm. You're one of the good ones. Maybe the only good one.
What's that said to Oprah? Remember that when they said that to Oprah? Some racist guy was a white supremacist?
You're one of the good ones.
Yes.
You're one of the good ones, Oprah.
Well, they went on to talk, Dennis Leary and Jon Stewart, just trying to, because we Jews, we often try to find athletes who are one of our people. It makes us feel better about ourselves. And
sure.
Here they are trying to find some baseball players.
How many Jews do we have in baseball right now?
We gotta have like five.
I think you have five.
That guy Braun from Milwaukee.
You have five, right?
Interviewed him yesterday.
The guy in the Mets, Green.
That's right. Isn't David Wright Jewish?
What?
Let's start that rumor right now. David Wright's a Jew. That's the rumor we're starting right now. I think he might be Jewish. What kind of name is Wright? Yeah, like anybody gets that name.
Why did he turn into Germany in 1938? What's going on here?
I'm supporting your people.
You're not supporting.
I am supporting. I'm trying to find more Jews in baseball.
You're needling. Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing.
You're old as f- and you're going to need one of our doctors. Let me tell you something, my friend.
Nice. Good time.
Well, usually this conversation always goes back to Sandy Koufax.
I interviewed the first guy they brought up less than 24
hours ago.
That's
so weird. How was he?
He was like a 22-year-old guy from Reseda who'd been playing in the majors for 6 months.
Rookie.
Yeah, rookie, doing very well, playing for Milwaukee, but interviewing a guy who's been in the majors since May, literally since May, you don't have that much to talk about because they don't have that much to talk about. And you'd be surprised how little you have to talk about with most 22-year-olds from Reseda.
Sure.
Anyway, other than that, it went great.
Well, you share your Valley history, though.
Yeah.
Think you could bond. And also, you know, many people don't know this and you don't like to mention it, but you were a lot of schools wanted you to play football.
Yes, they did. All the big ones like Lewis and Clark,
UC Davis.
UC Davis.
He doesn't mention the story. He doesn't finish. All the universities wanted me to play football for the opposing team.
That's right. Wanted me to play against
Damn.
Them. Ace,
man,
you were good at football in high school. It's funny when most of the schools that wanted me to play for them don't even have programs anymore, so they're like, Cal Poly Pomona had a football team? Yes! Really? Yes! Huh. But you know, the good news is, Marshall
Yeah.
Which does have a good football program now, but was horrible back then. Wanted me because they were horrible.
So you must have been rooting
then.
For them all along.
So now I can go, oh yeah, Marshall. And they go, ooh, Randy out of Marshall. Yeah. And what's his name out of Marshall? Oh, it's a good program. Yeah.
D1 school over there,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been.
Yeah.
I'm Teresa Strasser.
No, that's it.
Yeah, I got to wrap. It's 9:30.
Do one last one.
Oh, all right.
Cool.
If I must. Well, I don't know if you've heard about this. I'm sure you have. The Beatles will not allow their songs to be sold by iTunes.
Right. Yeah, it
but
sucks.
Some of the individual, it does suck. You
it
can't
does.
Download some of your favorite songs.
Right.
Well, there's been a small change. You still can't get Beatles songs. But
who are the Beatles, by the way? Yoko and Ringo? Is
yeah.
that it?
No.
I mean, who's the Beatles now? I mean, George is dead and John is dead.
Oh,
and
who's left?
Does Paul own all his stuff?
But
he doesn't own all his stuff.
They sell it to Michael Jackson. It's all very
all right.
confusing.
Well, I don't know how it works, but here's the deal. Two of them are gone.
Right.
Two of the biggest contributors are gone.
Right.
Yeah.
We're left with Ringo and then the guy. So we're left with the guy who didn't really write any of the songs and then the guy who sold the library
right.
off to a crazy man.
Right.
So who decides it doesn't get to be played? I think Yoko's involved here somehow.
I believe you're correct there.
Do you know? Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an Apple Records thing, not a publishing thing.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson owns Northern Songs Limited, which is Paul McCartney and John Lennon songs, and he wants to sell them, I think.
Sure.
Right.
Well, here's how it works thus far. You can buy songs by Paul McCartney. You can buy songs by Ringo Starr.
Oh, yeah.
And now, as of yesterday, you can buy John Lennon's solo music catalog, 16 albums, legally
awesome.
Online for the first time, but they don't cost 99 cents.
Watch out. Where are my running shoes? I got to get to a computer. Get some of that crap you did with Yoko.
If you want some of that crap, it's going to cost you $1.29 per song.
A pittance for that. Him getting super high and singing about Yoko. Let's listen to this, everyone. Hasn't aged a second.
$1.29. I miss you when
you're here. Man's a genius. There's no way any of us could ever do this.
I know you're upset.
When he died, he took the music with him.
It was the day the music died. Would you balance?
Nothing. This is Cat in the Hat, except for Yoko. This is a guy who's high as a kite, who can't really sing, who can't really play, singing a horrible song about a horrible woman.
Yeah. I wish I could see something nice. She likes sweet sauce and rice.
Right.
But, you know, how can you do it?
Well, listen, I don't want to break your heart.
Don't get me started on the new Paul McCartney stuff either.
Yes.
Do you know what? You used to be able to go to Starbucks and look smart because they had the coolest CDs.
Right.
I don't have great taste in music. You know, I like whatever makes my foot pop, I'm good enough, right? Mm. But they had, like, the Ray Charles collection and all this and all that. And then after you railed, I went in and I saw the Paul McCartney and I went, oh, they're not always that cool, are they?
Mm-mm. They got a deal with him, though.
That's
Is this
right.
the new one?
Is this the new Paul McCartney?
I've got too much on my plate.
Pay 99 cents to never hear this again.
Listen, we ought to toss him in the hole with John and see if they could crank out something decent. The love
the
of Christ.
Of
this song's horrible. John's solo stuff was horrible. Harrison did great solo stuff. All right, sorry.
By the way, Harrison is the last Beatle to not have his solo stuff available on iTunes.
There you go. All the crappy Lennon, all the crappy McCartney. You want solo, but none of the good solo stuff with Harrison. That's how the world works.
I know you like the sitar more than most people, but I can live without it.
All right.
Probably some people's double fantasy that I now end the news.
Yes.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Well, that extra stuff I was talking about before Terrence Howard so rudely interrupted me about an hour and a half ago, we will finally get to.
Good.
I'll play you some clips. We'll find out whether Tom Cruise is starting his own catering business. Someone may be adopting another baby. Someone has flown their personal trainer with them to Chicago. Oh, I have clips next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Adam, I just wanted to say I make about $60,000 a year. My wife don't do nothing around the house, man.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
D-Bone.
All right, buddy. Hey, I am taking on some guy from the Opie and Anthony show. They think they're us, but they're in New York, and they ain't us. Anyway, I've selected my squadron for the paintball war on this on Saturday. It's in Castaic, but you can still go to AdamCarolla.com for your chance to win a prize pack for the movie War, starring Jason Statham.
Statham.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
And Jet Li. War in theaters everywhere Friday, August 24th. And if I may add, you can also go to AdamCarolla.com and get my MySpace page, back that bitch deleted. But War is in theaters August 24th.
No easier and more difficult name to pronounce than Statham. And Lee.
Actually, when I read Statham the first time when I was doing the copy for it, the whole commercial, they had spelled it Statham with an R.
And
then Dawson told me about the third time. He said, there's no R in it. I'm sorry.
But when your name is Jet Li, does anyone ever stumble over it? Or no one ever goes, hey, it's Jet Li. Oh, Christ, let me take that again. Jet Li, Jet Lu, Jet Blue?
Jet Li, right? Jet Blue.
Yeah, Jet Li, there's a name just comes flying out, baby.
Pardon the pun.
All right, we will examine the game film. I was watching Extra last night, as I always do. I sit and feed my little kitties. I actually do that one bite for Daddy and one bite for Sonny. And Sonny, God bless him, he don't like the little kitty spoon.
Right.
He wants it either off of Daddy's fork. He sees what Daddy's eating, and then he doesn't like the food off of the spoon. And it's not just a food. He don't like the powder blue baby spoon. He wants the fork. And then he says, fork the fork. I want the hand. And he wants me to feed him like a little bird to actually do it. And his hands will go flying and smack. You take a nice, you can get a little porridge on a spoon or a little minced up squash or something. You start, and his hand will fly and send it sailing across the room and all over the drapes. So I just sit there and feed him feed him by hand, and he'll eat anything. The girl's a little out of my range. She's on the other side of the table. So the old lady's feeding her, and I'm watching Extra. And again, like I said before, I'm doing that thing where I go, who watches this crap? How lame is this? And it's me every single night watching it saying, how lame is it and who watches it? I should put a mirror by the TV. Because every time a show comes on, I go, who watches this crap? And then I could just glance right in the mirror. And you know what I'll do? I'll paint a dunce cap onto the mirror so that my head is lined up perfectly with it. And every once in a while, I'll break it up by doing one of those wind-up beanies. And maybe I'll put a funny pirate mustache where it would go, too. And I'll be, that's who watches this show,
idiot. That's so funny that you picked that. Whenever I'm trying to describe, and I don't want to be graphic, but I'm saying, I met a girl and she was totally into wild sex. That's what I use. I say, God, I'm making out with this girl, and all of a sudden she broke out the propeller hat. That means she went crazy on me.
That means you're getting it on with either Cecil or Beanie.
That's you and me that know that, buddy.
I know, we're so old. All right, well, let's listen to our clips. Now, here's why. Well, I'll explain why I enjoyed these after you hear them.
Baby rumors are blowing through the Windy City about Brad and Angelina. And Tom Cruise's new job, wedding planner to the stars? Now, new Brangelina baby buzz is heating up again that mother of four Angelina is getting ready to adopt yet another child. Rumors are swirling she's going to Ethiopia this November to adopt her brother or sister for Sahara, who's from that same country. So is it true? Maybe. Brad's people aren't commenting. And another hot Brangelina rumor. Did Brad fly his personal trainer to Chicago to maintain his rockin' bod? Yes.
Well, all right, let's break this down. First off, he flew somebody 1,900 miles for $389 on JetBlue, although he didn't pay for it. The production company paid for it because they're doing a movie in Chicago. Whoa, stop the presses, everybody. He flew his personal trainer to Chicago. I'm sure it's right on the writer whenever he makes a film, your personal trainer, no. And a bunch of personal, whoever gets to go out there. So is that news? And then this is a very slippery slope because they used to do the Hollywood rumor mill and they'd go, is Tori Spelling pregnant again? And then 5 minutes later, they'd go, no, she's not pregnant. Now, all bets are off because they threw a maybe in. They said maybe, and now there's no up or no down. We're all living in some crazy vacuum in outer space now because when you answer maybe, there is yes, no, and now maybe, which covers every potential answer under the sun. So I can go, does Danny Bonaducci have HIV?
Maybe.
Right. I just had this. I was telling you about this. I don't know what tabloids. I won't say the Inquirer, although they're my personal favorite, so I wouldn't want to make them mad. I love that. But it did say, Danny Bonaducci, drinking again? Question mark.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course, I get thirsty, so they can say yes.
And then you go to the jump, and it says, no, he was having a Red Bull.
They don't
give me that kind of credit. They just say, yes, he's drinking again. They just don't identify what it is.
Normally, they go to the jump, and they just say, no, whatever. Right. Whatever. Is he gay? No. Is she pregnant? No. But then maybe you want to talk about a cop-out. Yeah. You want to talk about horrible journalism. Maybe I can do from my effing chair in my kitchen. I don't have to make one phone call or turn on that box that produces the porn.
Computer.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I can just say maybe over anything.
It begs the question, who would watch that?
Who? I don't. Oh, wait a minute. All right. We're going to take a break.
But anybody that would. Is he gay?
Maybe.
Check the mirror with the wind-up beanie. We'll be back. Wow, it's like we did a real radio show. I want to thank Allie Larder from Marigold and, of course, Heroes in Theaters Friday. Rachel Dratch, Freshman Orientation, out August 31st. Terrence Howard, The Hunting Party in Theaters September 7th. And Ralphie May, Brea Improv tomorrow through Sunday. And if memory serves, heading to Fresno, our Fresno X. He's going to be there, I think, November 3rd. Dan? Yeah. E?
Oh, I couldn't figure
cool?
out. What are you thanking me for, buddy? I'm sorry. Hey, here's the deal. You know, I got to take my Harley Davidson almost everywhere I go, and we're doing everything you want on it. I've been known to do the Corolla Bagel Party, deliver the baby basket to Nicole Richie. Mm-hmm. Well, if you would like to spend your day on a hog with me, go to adamcorolla.com. Sign up to win a day of cruising with me on some Harleys, and that is powered by the number one hit comedy, Wild Hogs, starring Tim Allen and Martin Lawrence on DVD and Blu-ray now.
Good times. Thanks. My pleasure. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Danny Bonaducci, drinking again? Question mark.
Yes. Yeah.
Does Danny Bonaducci have HIV?
Maybe.